Tompkins Square, and they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven, and all the neocons went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with.
Vent an inquiry into the inappropriate emails, but he told the Associated Press that he alerted GOP leadership 3 years ago about Foley's questionable conduct with teenage pages. Also in Washington, conservatives are debating whether to ask House Speaker Dennis Hastert to step down because of how he handled the incident. He has publicly stated he will not quit. President Bush has signed into law the $35 billion Homeland Security bill. It includes $1.2 billion for 700 miles of fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. However, a spokesman for Mexican President Vicente Fox says he doubts the fence will ever be built. In Cincinnati, a federal appeals court ruled today that pending an appeal, the Bush administration can continue the warrantless surveillance program. President Bush says it's vital in the war on terrorism, but opponents say it violates civil liberties. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials have pulled 700 policemen off the streets of Baghdad, and a top commander has been arrested. They're under investigation for allowing death squads to move freely around the capital. A U.S. military spokesman says after 24 people were kidnapped on Sunday, there was clear evidence of some complicity. In the West Bank today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pledged the United States would redouble its efforts to help the Palestinians and improve living conditions in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Earlier, Rice met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. He indicated that he may dissolve the Hamas-led government. In Brussels, a top European Union negotiator said no progress has been made about Iran's nuclear program, despite the numerous hours of talks with its chief nuclear negotiator. The EU's foreign policy chief, Javier Solana, said it's up to Iran to decide whether negotiations will continue. In New York today, the United Nations Security Council is meeting to talk about North Korea. That follows Pyongyang's announcement yesterday that the country is planning to test a nuclear bomb. And in Washington, a federal court has awarded $143 million to three closed nuclear power plants in Maine, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The FBI and Food and Drug Administration searched two California spinach packaging companies connected to the recent E. coli outbreak. These searches are the first indication that a crime may have taken place, although officials say deliberate contamination is not suspected. California's Attorney General is seeking criminal indictments against five people involved in the Hewlett-Packard media spying scandal, among them former chairwoman Patricia Dunn. After nearly 3 months, GM has ended talks on forming a possible three-way alliance with Nissan and Renault. That's partly over a disagreement on how to distribute the benefits. Walmart is lowering its September sales forecast because of a calculating error. The growth rate is now revised down to 1.3%. Mortgage applications led by refinancing requests were up last week to their highest level in 8 months. And Apple Computer CEO Steve Jobs apologized today to shareholders and employees following an investigation into the company's stock option practices. The former CFO has resigned from the board of directors. Light sweet crude settled at $59.41 today. In trading today, the Dow rose above the all-time high set at yesterday's close of 11,727. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 123 points at 11,850. NASDAQ up 47, S&P 500 up 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Bless my soul if we haven't made it all the way to Wednesday. I'm Bob Kincaid. For purposes of this evening, I'm Brother Bob Kincaid. And this, well, this is the Cathedral of Common Sense.
On this Every Other Wednesday Afternoon Discussion Club, we are going to have more to discuss on this Every Other Wednesday Afternoon than we ever had on any other Every Other Wednesday Afternoon.
Darn straight, because it's prayer meeting time once again. And, this is the week for it, isn't it? This is absolutely the week for it. There is more right-wing sickness and perfidy than any time in recent memory. This is just, revolting. And we've got kitty diddling out there. The Republican House of Representatives is coming unglued. And meanwhile, there are lots of kids out there being diddled, all over the country by Republicans. We went through the list the other night. And what is the response of the Christian religion movement? Let's see if we can get the microphone over here and you can hear them real good. Hear the crickets? Let's see. The good doctor, James Dobson, who couldn't put a Band-Aid on without killing someone. Dr. Dobson said, "This is no time to be talking politics." Really, I didn't make that one up.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the time is always time to be talking politics, except now when it's not so good. Not so nice. To be shining a bright light on how manifestly evil these people are. Now, I've got some sound bites for you this evening. Nothing fancy, but I thought you'd like to know. let's start with the real funny. Our buddy Glenn Beck. Agnes, are you ready with the Glenn Beck clip? Our buddy Glenn Beck. He was on his little telescreed on Headline News the other night with none other than Catherine Harris. Now, if you want real humor, you can't beat the idea of Glenn Beck and Catherine Harris. Now, I can't make this stuff up. Now, remember, this is Glenn Beck who has assailed, that's right, Cindy Sheehan is a prostitute. That's what he said, but wait, it turns out he doesn't even like his job.
I hate politics.
Oh.
I hate politicians.
Really?
We have so many things going on in our world.
Now, bear
let's
in
take
mind,
Mark Foley
a minute,
for a second.
Agnes.
Here's a guy who was praying.
Wait a minute. I hate politics. I hate politicians.
You never know
he's sitting there with Catherine Harris, the woman who helped steal our government. So, Agnes, if you'd just keep a finger on the trigger there.
Yes,
start it over again. There we go.
I hate politics. I hate politicians. We have so many things going on in our world. Well, let's take Mark Foley for a second. Here's a guy who was preying on 16-year-old kids, and everybody's making this about the election. Good.
Pause. You'll notice he says, here's a guy. He doesn't use the operative word. Here's a Republican guy. I hate politics. I hate politicians, but we're going to have to talk about it because there's this politician. And, you know, and just and to the same extent that Glenn Beck won't say that he's a damn Republican. Well, by the end of the show last night, I didn't get to mention it, but it turns out that Brad Blog, our good friend Brad Friedman, and his compatriots over there at bradblog.com, had uncovered the fact that three times during O'Reilly's show last night on Foxed Up News, three times underneath pictures of Mark Foley, video footage of Mark Foley, three times they banner fonted Mark Foley, paren, D, Florida, close paren. Three times during the live run of O'Reilly's show. And today, it turns out, also from the Brad blog, three or four different Associated Press stories listed him as a Democrat and listed Hastert as a Democrat. Now, you laugh, Agnes, but, you know, at some point you have to look up and wonder if we're talking about a concerted effort here. And so naturally, you know, when Glenn Beck is talking about it, it's this guy, Mark Foley, this guy. You know, he just wandered into the Congress and, I mean, it's not like he was, you know, a Republican or anything. No, heck no. Yes, he was. Let's go back, Agnes. Agnes? Agnes? Yeah, I know, but you got to multitask, honey. We're going to be busy tonight.
Okay, go ahead.
Hit it.
Things. What is that about?
It's appalling and abhorrent. It's not a partisan issue, though. And interestingly enough, I had worked on so many of those child predator bills, and Mark had, too. Now, of course, some of those same bills that he worked on, he could be subject to.
What do you think of him? Did you ever have? I mean, I heard some aides were saying he was great, he was nice. Some said that he was kind of creepy. What was your impression on him? Did you have any idea?
No, I had no idea.
I had no idea.
Is he going to get away with? Is he going to pull a Cynthia McKinney on us?
Huh? What the? Wait! Stop it. Is he going to pull a Cynthia McKinney on us? Do you see what they're doing?
Did she IM 16-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, Cynthia McKinney had a run-in with a Capitol Hill cop. This guy was out trying to, and quite possibly succeeding at, setting up liaisons with kids who might or might not have been underage. He was cruising, that's his word, not mine, cruising the Capitol Page Corps and sending them dirty messages and finding out about how they like to, you know, and have fetishes about plaster casts. Is he going to pull a Cynthia McKinney on us and get away with this? I gave up on CNN a long time ago. But honest to God, every time I think they've reached a new low, they go and dig themselves a little bit further. A Cynthia McKinney? What the hell is a Cynthia McKinney? I mean, really, what the hell does that mean? To the best of my knowledge, Cynthia McKinney is not and never has been charged with being any kind of a perv. But it's the Democrats' fault. And I hate this story. I'm tired of this story. I love politics. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you like Glenn Beck did to the mind-numbed little the gop bots that watch his program. I love politics. I love the give and take. I love the fray of it. I love the challenge of trying to figure out the right thing to do for this country, for the polis. But I hate this sick, sorry, sordid story of child predation. But suddenly it's about Cynthia McKinney? You know, mine is not the party that can't stand up and deal with this issue head on. Oh, did I say head on? Apply directly to the eardrum. Head on. Oh, my God. Let's go to the phone. Sarge joins us from southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today?
I'm well, I think.
Listen, I wanted to make an announcement. Well, PowersandMorrison.com has teamed up with the World Can't Wait for tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And we are opening up our 800 number to any marchers who would like to call and give us a report on how their marches is going. Also, we will provide as much cover as we can should there be any improper police actions against them. We will print the stories as soon as they come out. I will be right ready to go ahead and put it on my column. I'll do it all the whole time if I possibly can. We certainly support this, and we want to do all we can to help get the message out.
Well, that is a great, great idea. What's the number for starters?
Okay, the number is posted at our site, but it is 1-800-209-0009. And we will be more than happy to print what happens. We want to get the word out because we totally believe that that is part of the constitutional rights that we have in this country, and we totally support it.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. And, Bruce Birch was not able to be live today. He's been pulling double shifts because of an injury to a guy where he works. And he'll be out at World Can't Wait tomorrow, so he won't be live tomorrow either. But I'm hoping we'll be hearing live call-ins from him during this show tomorrow evening as well.
Well, I see Elo just posted the 800 number at the chat room. But we really hope that this sends a powerful message. And this is how we do it peacefully. This is how it's done. And this is how the forefathers intended it to be done. And if anybody can, we certainly ask them to join these marches. And let's show the world that America is not dead, that we do care about our country, and that we do care about what is right.
Absolutely, Sarge. And, you know, the other thing that must be borne in mind, and I was corresponding a little bit with Shelby LePray from who simulcasts our programming over at RadioPower.org. She's going to be participating in the march in Pittsburgh tomorrow for World Can't Wait. And one of the topics that came up, and I think people need to be thinking about this kind of thing, because we simply don't know how Homeland Security or any other forms of police might respond to all of this, no matter how peaceful it actually is. I think people, Sarge, would be well advised to make sure that there's somebody who isn't marching who will be by the phone, who can respond in cases of arrest or detention, because now that this damn torture bill has been passed, George Bush has the legal right to disappear people.
Yes, that's true. And do you know what happened with Brill Dre on our Cap Democracy coverage?
Yeah.
They picked him up from his hotel room, and he was in the Powers and Morrison chat room at the time. And they detained him for 48 hours, took his two cameras, destroyed his pictures, cleaned out his computer, held him 48 hours without charge, and then released him and kept his equipment.
Now, he still hasn't gotten it back, has he?
No, we still have it. And we have since set up a structure at Powers and Morrison where if anybody is in an assignment such as covering the march or whatever, that they check in with us at the 800 number and keep us posted so we can work with them and make sure that if they're picked up, we can notify someone immediately and get on getting their release in process, because this is just, you know, this is just too possible. And you consider what happened with Josh Wolf and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have told World Can't Wait that we will be glad to provide the same service for any marchers tomorrow. All they have to do, if there's somebody in the group that has a cell phone that can call, as soon as I hear about it, I will go immediately to the phone and start making arrangements to see that there is something done.
Very good, Sarge. Very good.
This is, I can't get out and march with people due to my physical problems, but by God, I can do this. And I just hope that it you know, is a service that will do some good and propel our cause.
Well, good. I hope maybe the World Can't Wait people will put something up at their website encouraging people to call reports in over there. And of course, if the World Can't Wait people want to make reports to this program, and I would imagine Guy James would welcome them at his program as well. I hope that you know, this is all about resource networking, isn't it?
Well, now, you know, as soon as I find out anything, I'm gonna let you guys know.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, I'm gonna keep y'all informed as well, because you know, we're all in this together, and we can have our little bickering between each other, but when it gets down to the cause, we got to put all that bickering aside, and we've got to get serious and stand up for what is right. There's no time for trash.
No, there isn't. There isn't. You're so right, Sarge. Thanks so much.
I'm gonna let you go, but I wanted to get that out.
Very good. Very good, sir. Bye now. Right. And if you're going to one of the World Can't Wait marches, write down that number, because among other things, you need to be in a position where you've got some way of contacting someone somewhere that you know the phone will be answered if the whip comes down. I mean, I'm sorry to be talking about this, but I read the damn statute that they passed. Okay, I read it, and I know that you can be declared an enemy combatant on a whim. And it is the whim of a madman who is surrounded by mad men and women. And I don't mean mad angry. I mean, you know, that kind of mad. Write down, if you're going tomorrow, write down the Powers and Morrison number. 1-800-209. You getting this so far? 1-800-209-0009. Okay. Onward. Let's see. Let's go to Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine. First of all, I want to give you a media update, so to speak.
Okay.
I told Agnes this. I don't know if anybody noticed it. Tonight is the start of Mr. Moyers is back on PBS. His Moyers on America special.
Oh, wonderful.
And tonight is Capital Crimes, talking about the Abramoff scandal. It's like 2 hours. So I just want to warn anybody, you know, stick a tape in the machine,
mm-hmm.
that it should be pretty good.
Program the TiVo.
Mm-hmm. But now some other things tonight. Let's see, what's first? Oh, yeah. I think I sent it to you on the comment on one of the things I sent to you. Do you think we really should just go ahead and just put out the APB? You know, for where are Dr. Dobson, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Baldwin?
Yeah, because...
You know, it seems interesting that, you know, if this was Democrat, they'd be fighting to get on TV.
Yeah, they would be. And, I mean, you wouldn't be able to swing a dead cat without hitting some right-wing religious creep who was declaring that, you know, this is a function of the moral decay of America.
You betcha.
This is because the children can't pray in schools.
I'm sitting there going, they must all be at a retreat or something together. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Must be something along those lines.
I don't know. I think they're checking to see if any of the little boys they're doing are talking yet.
Ooh. But I tell you what, it's like you just like to get hold of one of these guys on the news media and go, you know, guys, isn't it amazing though how we ain't heard anything out of any of these people?
Yeah, but you know what? We got a tough enough job as it is, Luke, because we can't even count on the media to get the party affiliation right anymore.
I know.
I kind of expected that from Fox, but then I checked Brad blog later today and earlier today, and I find out, lo and behold, that the AP's doing it too.
Oh God! Well, you see, you were talking about that thing earlier about them doing the McKinney moment. Did you see the one I saw it over at Media Matters, where good old Mark Kondracki was saying this was the equivalent of cash in the freezer?
Huh? This is William Jefferson now?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They're gonna drag up anything.
No, the only way this is the equivalent of cash in the freezer is if the person's last name is Cash.
I know. But you know what I mean. They're anything they can think of, they're going to throw out there. I mean, this is mudslinging time.
Yeah, this is, you know, what? Fling it against the wall and see if it sticks. And if it does, we'll throw some more of the same.
Well, the one that got to me is everybody. I heard somebody tonight who was one of the Republican strategists on Dobbs and said, you know, this is going to die down. And I was sitting there thinking, you do realize, don't you, that Mr. Foley, he's going to be coming out of rehab. Guess when?
When is that?
About 3 days, I think, right before the election.
Yeah. that makes...
And he's going to have to talk to people then.
Oh, boy.
He's going to have to make statements in the whole nine yards.
Yeah, you know, I'd take an official food taster with me if I were Mark Foley.
It's like, yeah, we don't know why he passed out, you know, it's just amazing.
Well, you know, they have not yet decided whether or not he was shot trying to escape or committed suicide.
But we figure he did. Unfortunately, somehow he was standing on a chair at the time. We did not understand this, you know.
Another case, you know, Bob Ewell fell on his knife.
37 times. Then he rolled over and did it 25 times in his back. Isn't that amazing?
I'm sorry, Mr. Finch, but as far as I'm concerned, Bob Ewell killed himself.
I know. But, you know, the one I heard was, I like Tom Hartman's theory. It was pretty good. He said, somebody said, what about the timing on this? And somebody said, and Tom said, he said, you know, it'd be amazing if this was ABC, you know, broke it. He said, this was ABC, he think, trying to blunt the Woodward thing. Because, you know, amazingly, the day right after Woodward's big promotion comes out, this breaks. And you've got to think, you know, and he was saying, you know, isn't it amazing if ABC broke this to knock Woodward off the main story? But amazingly enough, this may be bigger than they thought it was going to be.
There would be a delightful irony in there, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. It's like, yeah, the party that I tell you what, of the three networks, I don't trust any of them anymore, but I got to say, I think ABC's the worst right now, because if you've read The Note before, haven't you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's like, you, at the top, it should say supplied by the GOP or the RNC website.
Right.
If you read that thing, I mean, that thing is just pure RNC drivel.
Yeah, but I tell you what, when I went there and I saw some of the transcripts of the actual chat, things like, you know, I'd be willing to drive a little bit for a hot stud like that. Mother.
But you know what I mean, though. It's one of those things. So if you ever listen to some of their stuff, though, on the regular stuff, it's like saying with a past nine. You got to wonder also maybe if this is
the
news division saying, you know, we better do something. We're going to really look like idiots.
Yeah, this is strictly cut and pasted. Yeah.
But it's like saying, I'm just. Like you were talking about Beck and then all this stuff from.
Oh, but we've only scraped the top layer of slime off the swamp tonight. I got more.
Well, and like I say, Mr. Christie, you know what I mean? I still want somebody to explain. You were taking the Viagra for the boys only weekend because?
Right. In the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Where male child sex prostitution is part of the gross national product.
That may be their gross national product.
It's gross.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where, you know, I'll have to sit and watch it tonight. I saw on the, as we always say, the oxymoron of Larry King Live, that tonight they're having their political roundtable.
Oh yeah, I saw that mentioned. Yeah, yeah, and of course I caught a little bit of Robert Wexler last night, dealing with who's the other creepy Republican congressman from Illinois, LaHood, who said, you know, the answer to this problem is to shut down the Page program. And what an admission that was. That was a Republican, that was a high-ranking Republican congressman coming on and saying, you know, we can't be trusted around children. It's better if you just get the children away from us.
Well, you know what that'll be. Yes, yeah, so we'll have to shut this down. Let's destroy all those records now. You know?
Yeah, somebody where's Ollie North Shredder? That was industrial strength.
Yeah, it's like either that or somebody drop a match. We'll just have a nice little bonfire. You know, one or the other. We'll figure it out here.
Or, you know, maybe we'll call in a terrorist bomb threat to the Capitol and clear it out and send the boys in and get all the documentation.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't opened a letter and had something white come out of it, you know.
Oh, they will. It'll be a Democrat.
Well, like I say, it's fun now. The thing of it is, like I say, I think I sent you the one from Alec Baldwin thing, I tried to. I couldn't get Huffington Post. Their email, their forwarding thing is screwed up for some reason.
I tried it.
But he had a thing over there that said, forget about Foley. He's gone. Said the person to concentrate on this for is Hastert.
Well, I saw that, and I actually posted to it, Luke. I don't know if my post ever showed up. But by the time that I was posting to it, so far, everything I'd seen on it, nobody had mentioned the fact that Hastert has a qualified, viable candidate running against him in the general election.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, that's John Lash. In fact, John was on MSNBC just a little bit ago. He's been on this program. He's been on a number of others. He's a smart fella. And frankly, I hope that Illinois' 14th district voters will just kind of get tired of it all and throw the bum out approach to Denny Hastert and give John Lash a chance to show us what he can do.
Well, the other one was fun was watching this thing where they were talking about it said. We've said before, it's watching the sharks feed on their own. It's like they said, watch Boner. Essentially, out there, they're saying, can he find a bus big enough to throw Denny under? You know,
a mighty big bus.
I was gonna say, gonna hurt the axle here, but
those things have low ground clearances too. I don't. They might just get shoved along on the cow catcher for a while.
Well, you know how it is. It's one of those things. I just have this police squad moment in my mind. You know how it is. but you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like I've said, if it lasts a day, that's fine. If it lasts 2 days, that's fine. But I'm going to enjoy it while it's going. So it's one of those things that here watching this stuff, it's sort of like.
You know, what's amazing about this whole thing, Luke, is that it didn't have to happen. I mean, this is a self-inflicted wound on the part of the Republican Party, though. They've known about this now. I mean, we find out from this Fordham guy who resigned today. He started telling Denny Hastert about this in 2004.
Well, the thing about that is you got to wonder if they start a real investigation and the Justice Department really does an investigation. What's going to happen when they have to go talk to Mr. DeLay? Because, Tom, this, we know, was known for the last 10 years from one of these two or three people have said that this was known in the mid-90s. You know, that when he first came in, they warned him, don't get too friendly with him. He's a little odd. And you got to wonder, well, what was Mr. They may even end up talking to Newt. Because I say that, we got to go back and check all the fellows who were in charge before. So, like I say, this may bring up the whole rogues gallery.
Well, but right now I think the Republican, once they sort out who knew what when, and they figure out how many buses it's going to take to throw people under, the next thing is to say that this is an isolated incident. And frankly, you can hear it out there in the media already.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an isolated incident.
Well, the thing is, it's like today Randy was saying about it, said if this has been going on for 5 or 6 years, they changed the pages out. It's not just one kid. The page corps turns over every year.
No, I know. It's like that really,
we're
really.
We're talking at least 5 or 6 kids at the minimum.
Well, and apparently, it was a known quantity. I mean, I've seen kids from Atlanta. There's the kid from Louisiana who said it was. Let me get my. I got to count on my fingers. 6666666666666666. 14 times he used the word sick to describe Mark Foley.
It's just amazing to me. You got to wonder how much arm twisting's been done that none of these kids or their families have gone to the press before now. Or if they have, who got it shut up? Because you got to think, if this has been going on, just say for 5 years. We'll just say since, 2001. This has been going on for 5 years. Somebody's had to be, there's had to be two or three people that you've got to think that somebody's been twisting some arms. because something like this.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, this ain't the kind of secret you can keep. Not especially you and me. If, and to think of it, everybody that we're talking about, Hastert and all these other, and Boehner and what's this guy's, Armstrong, Alexander.
Simpkis.
And all them have staff. So it wasn't just them knowing. The staff had to probably know, too. So, I mean, we're talking probably 15 to 20 people had to be aware of something going on.
And the thing is, what we're going to find out, I mean, do I want to know this? I don't want to know this.
I don't either.
But it's going to turn out that there's more than one predator working the pages. Okay, it's more than Mark Foley.
Oh yeah. You got to think if it was just him, he probably wouldn't.
Well, I mean, think about those smarmy. Then I'm sorry to be gooning on that region of the country, but those smarmy, gooey Southern Republicans. Lindsey Graham comes to mind. I wouldn't trust him alone. I wouldn't trust him alone with a little boy. Inhofe in Oklahoma.
Saxby Chambliss.
Saxby Chambliss, absolutely. Jeff Sessions.
Oh.
The
well, you know, the thing I heard the other day, or yesterday, I guess it was, and it was odd because I heard it and I said, yeah, that's true and it's shameful, isn't it? Said, we finally found somebody who could could replace Catherine Harrison as the leadiest politician in Florida.
Oh, brother. And that was the funniest part of the whole Glenn Beck thing is that was a conversation with Catherine Harris, for God's sakes.
It's like say that's one of the ones when we were talking to her sometimes. It's like, you know, ma'am, do you live in Florida or just over at Disney? Because you've got to be an artist, you know, something. You got to be one of those.
It's a small-minded world.
Well, it's one of those things you sometimes wonder. You know, was this Disney's idea? Where when they were doing those animatronics? Is she real? You know.
Oh, the video of her with Glenn Beck, you know, because the cut was from his TV show.
Uh-huh.
They've got the split screen thing going on. She's sort of sitting back in the dark with the whole Veronica Lake hair over one eye thing happening. You know, she thinks she's hot.
I'm sitting there going, she's been watching too much of Turner Classic or you know, it's like,
somebody,
get off the 40s film.
Yeah, but for God's sake, somebody color. No, don't colorize her. We've seen the color. Never mind. Yeah.
The roller.
Yeah.
No.
She uses Mary Kay with a Wagner power painter.
It's one of those favorites. She puts Barbara Stanwyck to shame.
Hey, Luke, we got to roll
on.
All right,
bud. Y'all have a good evening. Like I say, remember to set the tape tonight.
I'm going to. I hope it reruns. I'll have to check it after.
He's on for like the next 3 weeks. I think I sent you something on it. And it's like on for the next 3 weeks. I think next week something about the environment. And I can't remember what the third one was about. But he's got some new ones coming up.
No, I actually sat down to watch a little PBS last night, and I got a travel log about Argentina. You know, there's good stuff over there. Luke, thanks so much,
right,
and have a great evening.
Oh, bye
now. And rolling onward to our good friend Mitch. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
All right, not too bad. You know, this torture law the other day effectively put the kibosh on dissent in this country. A lot of these rallies that we've been attending, I think that you're going to see are going to be considerably less than they have been in the past. And I think that was pretty much one of the main reasons for passing this thing, not just torture, but to just get this dissent thing under order in this country.
Yeah, just make it stop.
Right, exactly. And
well, that's why I'm talking about people making sure that they've got adequate means of communication. And the reason that given out the 800 number here, and Sarge just gave out the 800 number at Powers and Morrison, is because you know that even if you're at a jailhouse payphone, you can reach a toll-free number.
Right, exactly. And, you know, another idea would be to put together a network of progressive lawyers across the country. You know, to try to find out what lawyers like. In New York, there's Ron Kuby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right, and there's the Constitutional Law Foundation, Bill Goodman, that Bruce had on his program last week and I had on the week before. And there's the ACLU, Mitch.
Right, there's Barry Scheck. There's good people. Do you remember who Leonard Weinglass is?
I recognize the name, but off the top of my head, no.
He was Bill Kunstler's... William Kunstler's law partner.
Oh, okay, sure.
In the co attorney at the Chicago 7 trial with Bill Kunstler.
Right.
And I spoke to him about, I guess it must be a year ago now, And, you know, he's getting up there in years, but he's still, you know, doing the same thing. You know, I mean, his whole life is dedicated to progressive causes. The guy never made two cents in his life that he could have made as a lawyer.
Right.
Because of the path he took, you know. But there's some good people out there. And putting together a network of these people might not be a bad idea, you know, to have a, you know, when people do get busted, they have a number to call. Number of someone.
Because the thing is, if you don't get a lawyer involved in a hurry under this new terror law, you won't get a lawyer involved. I mean, an enemy combatant hearing,
it might not matter anyway.
Well, you're not allowed to have a lawyer.
Right. I mean, they're not going to tell a lawyer or anything anyway. They're not going to tell a lawyer. They don't even have to tell a lawyer you've been arrested. They don't even have to admit it. Well, you could say, you busted my client. And they could say, what client? So what are you talking about? We don't know nothing, you know? I mean, they could literally do that. They could just post something that stupid. Am I right?
You are. But what I'm hoping is that if we engage early enough in the process, when you're dealing with what I call ordinary police forces, that their first inclination is going to be to observe the law.
Right. I'm hoping the cops get wise to this. I'm just hoping that, you know, I mean, the cops are just like me and you and everybody else. They see the bullshit also, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like growing up in the 60s, we had some names of the police and this and that. And, you know, as I got older, I matured a little bit. I'm still not the biggest fan in the world of the police. But at the same time, I realized that they perform a very important function, you know, and that we need them out there to do what they have to do.
Well, I'm not some sort of wild-eyed idealist watching the world through rose-colored glasses. There are some rotten human beings in this country.
Exactly.
There are people who need to be segregated from the general population somewhere besides the Capitol building. I'm kind of where you are as far as the police are concerned. You know, when they get the bit in their teeth and they're convinced that they're all powerful, then you begin to have a problem. But, you know, the people, look, I'm glad there's somebody out there watching for the guy who's doing, you know, who's doing the slalom through the hash marks down the two lane.
Exactly. And the thing too is that, I mean, I'm saying, but these guys are just as hip as we are to the baloney.
The way that an infraction is punished is not the cop's problem. I think sometimes we tend to conflate the two things, Mitch. But you know, I'm not trying to stir up trouble with the cops or anything tomorrow. That's not my intention whatsoever. But you know, if somebody winds up in the county lockdown somewhere near a payphone, you know, then there's at least a couple of 800 numbers they can call.
Exactly. Absolutely. We need something. Like I say, we don't know if it'll do any good, but I mean, we have to try. And the other thing, Bob, is like, you know, it seems to me like we're always playing catch up. We have these rallies to protest this or something. We protest something that happened. We're always doing that. We're always protesting something that happened. And we got to start getting out in front of some of these issues. And
protest things to keep them from happening.
Exactly. And the thing that now. I know this is sort of like being a little. This is the opposite of what I just said, but I believe that on the weekend following the election, which would be like the 10th, 11th, and 12th of November, would be a good time to organize right now to anticipate that we are going to lose. Going by the track record, in which is what any mature person would do. He would look at, you know, I mean, what the track record is, what's happened in the past, and realize that, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes, and that there's a good chance, a better than good chance, that we're going to lose this election, too.
Well, you know, the one thing that, and I'm not trying to throw cold water on anybody's efforts, because there's a lot of people out there busting their hump to try to make sure that that doesn't happen, Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
But, for instance, if you look... if you go to John Lash's website, you know, and he's running for Denny Hastert's seat,
mm-hmm.
and you take a look at that district, okay? When you see that thing, it looks like a snake crawling across the bottom of the state of Illinois. There is nothing natural or geographical about that, the way that thing was drawn. And what we've got to bear in mind, and just keep in the front of our minds, is that these districts have been redrawn since the Republicans took control of the House of Representatives so as to protect the Republican majority. That's the most ridiculous gerrymandered up district that I've seen in a long time, short of that bizarre one in Texas that runs from the Rio Grande to Austin.
And
that militates against us taking back the House.
But I mean, like I'm just saying, these guys are good at what they do. We don't want to give them credit. We like to think they're stupid, but they're not stupid. I mean, they're really dumb, but they're very shrewd. You know, they're dumb like a fox, as they say. And they know that they just fix this. And Robert's already laughing. He's telling his friends about his October surprise and laughing up his sleeve already. I mean, these guys know something already. And what I'm thinking is, on that weekend following the election, I would like to see us organize with World Can't Wait and whoever else we can get behind it, because we have to do it quickly. But to get as many people in Washington D.C. as possible that weekend following the election, we could say it's going to be the biggest. We could bill it as the biggest celebration in the history of America as we regain our democracy, or it could be the biggest protest of all time. But
be there and be ready in case it starts looking like something dirty's happened.
Right, and we can get 10 million people, which is nothing, a drop in the bucket, as Jackie Gleason would say, a mere bag of shells. It would be nothing, you know what I mean? For the people in this country who are going to be voting Democratic, if we can get that many people, there's no way they could stop us. We'd bring a city of people, a city's worth of people to D.C. What are they going to do? The National Guard in Iraq now, and then on the Mexican border. You know, what are they going to do? The Washington, D.C. Police Department is going to chase us down of town. You know, I mean, maybe we could really make a stand there, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many people that the whole world would be watching.
And boy, I tell you what, wouldn't the Bush people love to, and the Secretary of the Air Force, it might give him that opportunity that he's wanted for so long to try his new rolling microwave weapon out on a crowd like that.
Yeah, Christ, I'll be there, but I'll be bringing a change of underwear with me. Believe me, you know, I'm not going here like real confident in things. You know what I mean? I'm going here scared to death. You know,
yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, you gotta do it.
Well, you know, talk it up with some of the other programs. I'd like to say that we're huge enough that we could get a national movement going by ourselves. I'm not gonna sit here and lie behind the microphone. We're not that big yet.
I know, but you know some of those people from World Can't Wait.
Yeah.
Those people. You could talk about the possibility, throw it out there, say, what's the chance of this happening on such a late date? What's the chance of, you know, like getting this out? Back in the 60s, Bob, we had a thing called the Gathering of the Tribes.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in 1967. It was nothing that had really, there was no big announcement. There was nothing of the sort. It was just a beautiful wave of consciousness that flowed through the country like the wave in a baseball park.
Yeah.
And everybody that was loose and disconnected sort of wound up in San Francisco for the Summer of Love.
Yeah, next thing you know, somebody's singing, if you're going to San Francisco, please put a flower in your hair. Sure.
Right, and then the whole scene fell apart, of course. Anthony wrote that song. But the point is that, you know, I think we could get a grassroots thing going real quickly. I think people would love to go to Washington and just clog up. There's no way in or out of Washington, D.C. We could really stop the city and stop the entire city from movement. And, you know, Sarge, you're out there. I know you're listening to this. This got your name all over it, Sarge. This got your name all over it. I'd like to see you get involved with this, because I think maybe you could really probably get this thing ball rolling a little bit. So, anyway, my friend.
It's a great idea, Mitch. Like I said, talk it to some other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mention it to some other people.
I brought it up with Bruce Birch a while back when he had that. I talked about something else. And I call back. You're right. I should bring it up again.
Yeah, not even necessarily just with head-on shows. What's left of liberalism at Air America? You know, mention it to Randy. Mention it. you know, try to build support for it in the blogging community. You know, I think it's a great idea, and I think the philosophy behind it's very good too. The idea of actually protesting for something or in advance of something, as opposed to being constantly in catch up mode.
Exactly, you know, because you know that's what we've been doing the whole time, and they're always one step ahead of us. Actually, they're always two steps ahead of us. So I mean, it's like you take one step, step forward one, step back twice, step forward twice, step back three times. I mean, you just can't, we're constantly Rover's playing us like a yo-yo, and he's really good at it, and I'm sick of being Rover's yo-yo. And that's how I feel over the past 2 years that we've been in that position, you know.
Yeah.
And
Well, I'll tell you what, I got to change the subject on you before you go. I noticed little shakeups going down with your beloved Knicks.
Oh yeah, well, you got Isaiah is that on the floor? What else has happened? Is something else happened?
No. Apparently he's going to start kicking ass and taking names.
Jobs on the line.
Yeah. Well, they tried to get the players to come to a team meeting, and you know, they wouldn't even answer the letter.
But yeah, he said he wanted the day after Labor Day, he wanted the players to start training early, and I think only Channing Frye and David Lee showed up.
I think now that Isaiah's down on the court, maybe you'll see a little bit of difference this year.
Yeah, he says his main thing. I've been reading, I get the New York Daily News online, and he says the main thing he wants to do is he wants to try to remind these guys of how they used to love the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He says that's really important. He goes, and it really is. Unless you're having fun out there, you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
You're out there sweating.
And that was the thing about watching Isaiah. He was always enjoying the game.
Mm-hmm.
Him, Magic, Bird loved the game.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's going through a sexual harassment suit right now, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his little sweet Isaiah, can you believe it?
Oh, brother.
Yeah, he's going through a suit right now, and he's supposed to be in court, I think, sometime in the next month, dealing with that. So, who knows? I mean, Isaiah Thomas, who would have thought, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit depressing, Mitch.
Little baby face Isaiah.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, have yourself a good night, man.
All right. Listen, I found a good Karl Rove lookalike. Did you ever see the guy who plays the, you remember the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, yeah. The guy that melts.
The guy who gets the thing imprinted on his palm when he grabs the, he grabs the thing and it's like hot and it melts in his hand. The little Nazi guy. Does he look like a rogue?
Yeah, he does. Oh, that's a great observation.
Oh man, I'm telling you, what he called Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, well, there's another assignment for the Photoshoppers in the crowd.
There you go, pal.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Mitch.
All right, buddy. Bye bye.
Bye now. Our good friend Mitch in California. Agnes, do we take a break or do we keep rolling? Okay, is that keep rolling? Okay. So, she's either telling me to keep going or she's landing an aircraft on the flight deck of a carrier. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in there.
That's kind of what we got going on here. I think Agnes is going to start growing extra arms any minute now. I'm going to wind up waking up one morning married to Shiva.
Exactly. Nah. Well, I finally took plunge.
Yes, how?
Check your website.
Check my website?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what have you done? Well, it'll take me a minute, okay?
My first log entry.
Oh, yay for you! And see, the thing is, it becomes highly addictive.
Yeah, and seeing as how it's prayer meeting, I decided to put up the illustrated version of the war prayer. Because, let's face it, Foley and his hijinks and all of the torture thing, they're all just goodies from thinking about my man.
Oh, I know.
So, let's peruse the illustrated. The illustrations, by the way, are courtesy of the U.S. military.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to get there even as we speak.
Keep a base in handy when you go to the full... There's a link to the full page. I only used part of it. You'll need it.
Okay.
It's gross. They didn't pull any punches.
Oh, brother.
So, The first, these are the first, the ones that I put up were the mild ones. The ones you don't see until you get to the link are the ones that are really bad.
Okay, I've got the link now. I'm opening it, I hope. Oh, wow, I had no idea this was out there, Susan.
Yeah, I was surfing the other night, and I ran across this, and I said, oh, my God, I got to put this up on the blog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. This is...
Save this for prayer meeting because it just works beautifully.
That's astonishing. Oh, Lord. And, yeah, that's not... Don't look at the pictures before or after dinner.
Yeah, that's why I said keep a basin handy.
Right.
You need it.
Well, that's a great find. If you're out there finding stuff like that, I think you're going to have a wonderful time with the blog.
I've already got another one I'm going to be putting up. It seems that there is a religion that's being discriminated against as far as funerals.
Yeah, I know that. The Wiccans?
Yeah, the Wiccans, and they are suing the Defense Department.
Yes, they are, because there's a Wiccan veteran who died in action in Iraq, and they are denying him a symbol on his stone, are they not?
Yeah, because the symbol is a pentagram. Actually, he died, the Wiccan died in World War II. He received a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart.
Okay, okay.
In 2001, at the age of 77, was buried in Arlington National Cemetery, but he does not have a pentagram on his stone. He has nothing.
I'll be darned. And the pentagram, is that, forgive my ignorance, I can't remember, is that point up or point down?
Point up.
Point up, okay.
Yeah. It's a five-pointed stuff.
Right.
What makes this really bad is even an atheist has a symbol.
What is the, just out of curiosity, what does the atheist get?
The atheist gets, it's represented by an atom with an A inside.
Okay, okay.
There are...
And the Unitarians get question marks, right?
What?
The Unitarians get question marks. I'm sorry, I can't resist.
There's the total of 38 religious symbols on all, you know, every Judaism, Islam, Sikhism, Hinduism, you name it. But
yeah.
The one, pagans don't get one.
Ridiculous.
And so there are three Wiccan families and two churches that are suing the department. And what really makes this wrong is for years, the Army manual has had, for chaplains, has had a section on how to counsel Wiccan military personnel. How to handle, you know, the services for Wiccans and stuff, blah, blah, blah. But if you die, you can't have it on your tombstone. I'm just like, it's this ingrained prejudice because all the, you know, these bigots, these ignorant bigots, they look at that pentagram and say, oh, devil.
No, I know. And that's how I was asking about the right side up and the upside down, because I know that it has a significant, there's a significance between which way the point goes.
And I know.
Hey Susan, we've got to roll on. I've just had a call in here, and I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to hear from him. I'm sorry. He's not online yet. Okay.
Oh.
No. I was wrong. No, we're just running up against the news, and I want to make sure we actually follow the format a little bit.
Anybody who is busted tomorrow?
Yeah.
There's one thing they need to know.
Okay.
Three words to the police and nothing else. I want a lawyer.
I want a lawyer. That's
nothing
four.
Else.
That's four. I want a lawyer. Yeah, but absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Nothing else. Now, it is worth remembering. It used to be that if you went to one of these things, some people would advise you not to carry identification.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't have identification at one of these things, then if they can't positively identify you, well, you might be an alien. Yeah. And then, boom, and you're never heard from again, and it's easier to disappear you.
Yeah. Take your ID, but first thing out of your mouth is, I want a lawyer, and then don't say anything else.
Right. That is the only thing you say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very, very good advice. Thank you, Susan. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. And go look at the post, the illustrated Mark Twain's War Prayer.
Yes, it is.
Of course, I believe that the War Prayer is one of the single most moving moving pieces of prose that's been written in the last, well, that may ever have been written on the American continent. Susan posted it there. It's up at the it's up at the top of the blog at headonradionetwork.com. It will move you. For now, however, we're going to go straight out of this to the news. If you'll just cue the news, Agnes, we won't even fool with bumper music. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. This, well, it's our little cathedral of common sense. I'm Bob
Kincaid. This is the Quality News Network. The scandal surrounding former Representative Mark Foley's resignation continues. His former chief of staff resigned today and later told the Associated Press that he warned the GOP leadership about Foley's inappropriate behavior 3 years ago. However, House Speaker Dennis Hastert's office denies receiving any such warning. The preliminary federal investigation into the matter is now underway. The Justice Department has ordered House officials to preserve all records of Foley's electronic correspondence. Congressional pages are also being interviewed. In Cincinnati, a federal appeals court has ruled that the Bush administration can continue the warrantless surveillance program while it appeals a prior ruling that found the program unconstitutional. President Bush says it's vital in the war on terrorism, but opponents say it violates civil liberties. President Bush has signed into law the $35 billion Homeland Security Bill. It includes $1.2 billion for 700 miles of fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as funds to overhaul FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association. In California, former Hewlett-Packard chairwoman Patricia Dunn and four others were indicted today in connection with the company's media leak scandal. They face charges including using false or fraudulent pretenses to obtain information, identity theft, and conspiracy. In the West Bank today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pledged that the United States would redouble its efforts to help the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Earlier, she met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. He indicated he may dissolve the Hamas-led government now that negotiations to create a coalition government have collapsed. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials have pulled 700 policemen off the streets of Baghdad. They're under investigation for allowing death squads to move freely around the capital. A U.S. military spokesman says there is clear evidence of complicity in the kidnapping of 24 people on Sunday. Also, in a mostly Christian neighborhood of Baghdad today, 12 people were killed and 87 others injured in a triple bombing. Altogether, 28 people were killed today in Iraq. Also, two more U.S. soldiers died, bringing the total killed in combat since Saturday to 17. After nearly 3 months, GM has ended talks on forming a possible three-way alliance with Nissan and Renault. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
An American professor at Stanford University's medical school has been awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. His work could help researchers understand how cell disturbances are involved in diseases such as cancer. A new UN report on the health of the world's marine environments will be presented to delegates later this month at a conference in Beijing. They'll discuss how much progress has been made on a 10-year plan to curb pollution in the world's oceans and seas. Starting Tuesday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents will stop seizing small amounts of lower-priced prescription drugs sent from Canada to American customers. The Department of Transportation reports that the temporary ban on liquids and gels in airline carry-ons led to a 25% increase in lost or mishandled bags in August. Raytheon has won a more than $285 million five-year contract with the U.S. government. The defense contractor will produce weapons guidance systems for both the Army and Marines. Google has launched an educational website designed to help teachers improve literacy rates worldwide. The site combines video, books, maps, and blogs. Light Street crude settled at $59.41 today. In trading today, the Dow rose above the all-time high set at yesterday's close. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 123 points at 11,850. NASDAQ up 47, S&P 500 up 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, let's do another hour. What do you say? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's about 5.5 minutes after the hour. And we have on the phone with us right now a 14th Congressional District candidate, Democrat John Lash from the state of Illinois. John, are you there?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I got you just fine. I'm sorry for the late invite. I called your office just a couple of hours before the show, and it was actually at the very moment when you were on MSNBC this evening with Chris Matthews. But I wanted to provide an opportunity just for you to put some perspective on this, because you know you are running against Denny Hastert, and for all the Hastert talk I've heard out there, the one thing that I haven't heard a lot of and wanted to hear more of is the fact that he has a credible opponent in you. Are you reaching people with that message with all of this stuff blowing up?
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks again for having me on, Bob. Appreciate your efforts to get the truth out there and through all the spin and whatnot in the mainstream media. But it's been exciting last 48 hours or 3 or 4 days. I've had actually very little time to talk to voters. Before all this happened, I was spending a lot of time going door to door, like I have been since this campaign started. And I only had a brief minute probably to breathe in all this. I think I was going door to door Saturday and got interrupted to drive up to go talk to folks at ABC Network.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was out at the Sauk Valley Chamber of Commerce meeting. They had a town hall meeting last night, and I got to talk about issues. But other than that, it seems like all we've been talking about is Foley-Hastert Gate. So that's what it's looked like for me since, I guess, Monday.
Well, yeah, it's got to be a little bit hairy, but the fact of the matter is, this is really showing the dirty underside of what passes for leadership among the Republicans in Washington, and your opponent is the heart and soul of that so-called leadership.
Well, he's sort of the king of cover-up. He's the same guy that gutted the ethics committee so Tom DeLay could stay on in leadership. He's the same guy that slipped in a protection bill for a pharmaceutical company so they could do whatever they want and never get sued in the avian flu bill. He's the guy that twisted arms at 3 a.m. till 6 a.m. to get Medicare Part D passed. If there's something bad happening in Washington, D.C., George Bush is behind it, and Denny Hastert's rubber stamping it.
Sure, and the other thing that's worth, I find it interesting that he's having memory troubles all of a sudden, John. He can't remember when he, and I can't, if somebody came to me, and I would just about bet that if somebody came to you and said, we've got a member of Congress who's running around trying to prey on the little boy pages, I would remember the date, the time, the place, which necktie I was wearing, and what I'd had for lunch that day.
Yeah, and I would probably remember his name is Representative Foley.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people on Capitol Hill and probably deal with a lot of aides and so forth, and you have 435 members of Congress. It'll take me a while to get to know all their names, but believe me, if I knew one of them was preying on underage kids, I'd remember.
Yeah, exactly. And what's more, if I'm not mistaken, in his biography or autobiography, doesn't Hastert brag about the fact that he never forgets anything?
Hey, you're the first guy to say it before me, Bob. Page 186. He says he talks to a lot of people, but mostly he listens. He listens to everything that happens, and he remembers it all. So now he's having memory lapse. And we know he's getting up there in age, but I don't know. I can't see that he forgot this.
No, not. Well, what are you hearing from voters there in the 14th?
Well, this is all they want to talk about. Again, I went to the Sauk Valley Chamber of Commerce had a town hall meeting, a meet the candidates type of thing last night, and I got up there and I didn't talk about it at all. I talked about health care. I talked about the economy. I talked a little bit about how I got involved and why it's time to bring our troops home. And, you know, at the end of it, several people grabbed me at the end, and all they wanted to talk about was Foley-Hastert Gate. And so, you know, that seems to be what voters are talking about. But I'm going to be honest with you, people haven't been – I haven't had as much contact with people as I normally do on a daily basis just because I've been kind of going from interview to interview.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm trying to – I can't imagine that this is playing well for Mr. Hastert in your district, and I think you're wise in the approach that you're taking, John. But frankly, if people want to hear that you're going to be diligent and actually pay attention, because you know, to me, Hastert's problem in this isn't sexual; it's
he turned his head the other way.
It's a competence issue. I mean, if he says he just forgot all of this, then he's incompetent not only to be in the speaker's chair, he's incompetent to be in the House of Representatives, isn't he?
I would agree. I mean, well, you know, I don't know if Dennis Hastert, I think he's pretty cognizant of what's going on around him. I just think he's a lot, you know, he's in denial. There's a good book written with that title on it.
Yeah,
that came out and talked about the Bush White House.
Oddly enough, we stopped talking about that book when this came out, and it's led some people to wonder if maybe there's a little bit of Republican miscalculation in all of this.
Perhaps. That might be the question, is Mr. Hastert in as much denial as Mr. Bush? But you know, we'll watch this and see how it goes and plays out. Again, you know, I was hoping when I started this race, this would be a referendum on Iraq. I was watching the Lamont-Lieberman race, hoping that the Democratic Party would get the message that America is ready for a new direction in Iraq. But, you know, we haven't figured it out. When we take the majority, I want to get to Washington. I want to be able to say that, you know, I've been opposed to this this war in Iraq since before it started, and I'm ready to take our country a new direction and take our actions in Iraq in a new direction, get our troops home.
Would you be willing, John, to, the House controls the purse strings where it's where all this, even where the war is concerned. Would you be willing to look at the actual funding of the war?
I think that's really where you got to start in Congress. We can propose legislation, but really what we have to do is close the purse strings off until either Mr. Bush comes up with a plan or sits down. We need to make sure that he's going to fire Donald Rumsfeld and put competent people in charge. I think the House should have some oversight on who those people are, and I think the House should have some crystal clear communications as far as what steps we're going to take in Iraq. And we don't fund a penny more. I've been opposed to funding the ongoing occupation in Quagmire since I've been opposed to this since before it started.
Right. Well, that's where most of us, what I like to think, decent people have been. And I understand that there are people, you know, you're campaigning in the heartland, and very much similar to the way folks are here in West Virginia, John. If they feel like their country is calling, they feel duty and honor bound to serve that call. So, you know, you're also talking to people who believed George Bush. And how do you talk to them? How do you explain to them that, you know, okay, I understand where you were, but it's time to look at the hard realities.
That's a good question. Typically, you know, I'm convinced that at least 30% of the country and probably 30% of this district, if not a little more, is going to stand by their man. They're going to stand by Bush. They're going to stand by Haster. And I don't know what part ego plays into that decision to not make rational decisions and to understand what's going on. You know, I'm not inside those people's minds, but I'm willing to just ignore those people and move on and talk to the 70% of the country that wants change and wants a new direction.
And
that's what it takes to win.
Do you think the numbers are the same there in your district?
I have no way of saying. I know that the number one issue here is honesty, integrity, open government. And when I tell people that I'm one of the 50 veterans who's running for U.S. Congress to bring honesty and integrity back and who wants to get rid of special interest groups, halfway through that little 8 second soundbite, they're nodding their head and I got their vote. So, you know, that's number one, I think, on people's minds is they want someone that's going to tell them the truth.
Well, God knows there's little of that enough going around in Washington today. Are you feeling any heat from the Hastert campaign itself? Because God knows they've got enough money to burn a herd of wet elephants.
I've never heard that term used. You know, I haven't talked to anybody from Denny Hastert's campaign. Brad Hahn said I'm politicizing this issue, and I thought that's just a little bit of irony. I mean, what did they do? They buried a sex scandal with a 16-year-old for 11 months just to make sure they could protect their own political power, and somehow I'm politicizing this.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, if you've and I've got a bunch of sound bites here, but the OxyContin junkie Rush Limbaugh, who got caught with a bunch of Viagra on an all-boys trip to the Dominican Republic, he said Democrats leaked the information. Brian Ross, of course, who started this whole ball rolling at ABC, came out and said, look, you know, I'm not going to reveal my sources, but no, I got this information from Republicans. But that's not stopping Matt. You know, Matt Drudge has blamed it on the children. Rush is blaming it on the Democrats. Glenn Beck said last night that Foley might pull a Cynthia McKinney on us, whatever the heck that means. These guys are in full denial mode, but beyond that, John, I think it shows us how their minds operate in the midst of a political crisis. And this is not leadership. I'm trusting that leadership is something you want to bring to the district.
First and foremost is honesty and integrity, and then leadership. I think leadership is stepping up to the task that's at hand, and we've got a lot of work ahead of us in changing the course of this country and putting ourselves back on track so we can be the country that America and everybody in this country is proud of, the shining light on the hill, so everybody wants to be like America instead of everybody hating America.
Right. Well, I noticed that $700 million was approved for a fence along the Mexican border today. Somehow, I can't help but think you're going to have a little bit of a different agenda going into the Congress. I noticed Hastert's out there saying that there's no difference between you and Nancy Pelosi. He's running against Nancy Pelosi now.
Well, they don't have a message. There's straws. Hastert's a desperate man. He's grappling and hanging on to power, and he's doing anything and saying anything he can to hang on to power. So that's where Dennis Hastert is. You can tell they're trying to change a conversation, it seems. There's a Mark Foley update every day. You know, first he's in drug rehab, and then he was molested as a child. And you can expect to see that. God help us if they do something in Iran just to take conversation off this.
Well, that's the next thing I'm worried about. We've had a listener to this program who has mentioned that the USS Eisenhower carrier group has been dispatched to the Straits of Hormuz, and he has warned us to keep an eye out because it'll take till about October 25th to get it there.
Mm.
It's worth, you know, this is stuff that's worth paying attention to. So, I think you're being proactive in mentioning that right now. Do you have any sense in your district for how voters would respond to something like that?
I have no sense of how voters are going to respond. I can tell you, you know, you can't pull something that hasn't happened. But I got a brother over there, and he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on, and he said things are changing and people are being extended in certain elements. So, you know, my concerns are raised by information that I have, and probably not everybody else has. But this guy talking about the Eisenhower carrier battle group, the fact that they're talking about that battle group going to the Straits of Hormuz has significant meaning. That's big. I hadn't heard that. I'll look into it a little more.
Well, the Persian Gulf region, and when you talk Persian Gulf, you can't talk Persian Gulf without talking about the Straits, because
that's
the single most significant strategic location in almost that entire geographic area.
Perhaps.
Well, John, thank you very much for joining us. I wish you the very best, and I know you are running from media outlet to media outlet, but people out there need to be reminded that you're still focused on the job at hand, and that is winning the election in your district and bringing some integrity and some honesty and some decency back to the representation of some very good people there in Illinois' 14th. You still need help, you still need donations, and you've got a real hard sprint between now and November 7th, don't you?
I'm going to run hard.
Run hard, John. Run on. Thank you very kindly.
All right. Take care, Bob. Thanks again for having me.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. John Lash, john06.com. john06.com. You want a national race? That's a national race. A man willing to challenge the very Speaker of the House, and he's got a chance. He has as much chance as we are willing to help him have. Right? Yeah. Coming up on 21 minutes after the hour. And let's go back to the phones. Lee is calling from North Carolina. Lee, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. You?
Oh, I'm doing better this week. Hey, I called you last week, but
yeah.
I was really, really depressed about, the loss of habeas corpus.
Mm-hmm.
Really depressed. And, man, think about moving to Canada. And then this Mark Foley thing came up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, wait a minute. People have got to realize right now what I've called, the snakes of the Republican Party. This is what you expect of them, okay?
Yeah,
I wasn't surprised that they tried to cover up. I was surprised that other people were surprised. Okay, I called Guy James today, and I tried to lay it out for him. Basically, you can't be surprised by these people. You can't be surprised by anything they do. This is what they do. They're the snakes. You do your thing. You try to stomp them out. You don't believe anything they ever say, ever. And you don't hold it against them because this is what they do. They're snakes. It's in their nature. And what I basically said was how you can look at it is, look at the voting record. For example, let's say in our Congress, there's a third party, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it the Klan Party. There's 100 members of the Klan Party in our government. Now, you expect these people of the Klan Party on certain issues like immigration, affirmative action, things like that, they're going to vote 100% lockstep.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
In one way. But there are other issues in our government. You got things like energy policy, healthcare, environment, the pharmaceutical bills. You expect anybody, even the Klan Party, to have members that are all over the place on these issues.
Okay.
Okay? They should be all over the place. There's no way they should vote lockstep. But they do. How do you get people, even the Klan Party, to vote against their interests, against the country's interests, against the interests of their constituents? How do you get them to do that consistently? There's only a couple of ways. One is greed.
Is the other one black?
For the money. You just pay them, you know, money.
Is the other one blackmail?
The other one is blackmail, and I have it down as dirt.
Yeah.
Okay? Having dirt on people. So, Mark Foley is the perfect Republican. That's why they want him to stay in.
Well, I checked. I think Lee, he had an 84% approval rating with the Christian Coalition.
Okay.
Now, this tells me a little bit about the Christian Coalition, too.
Okay, right. But you get a guy like Mark Foley, and you bust him doing something really, really dirty. What are you going to do? You're not going to out him. This guy is he's your perfect Republican. This guy is a vote on your side anytime you want him. Now, he has an 84%, you know, voting record on some things, okay? But that 15% he may vote different, that's not important to the party.
Exactly.
The ones that are important to the party, they say to him, okay, Mark, we let you diddle your little boys, but on this bill, you got to vote our way. Are we going to tell people that you're diddling your little boys?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is we've got evidence of that, not with Foley directly, Lee, but there's evidence of that. John Lash just a minute ago mentioned the arm twisting that went on with the Medicare prescription D.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
They pulled these guys into a back room,
yeah,
put them on the phone with Bush and Cheney and company, and they told them, they basically pulled out the dossier on them. And said, you vote this way or this dossier.
Well, there was one Republican member of Congress who was kind of iffy about it, but he was retiring, and his son was running for his place. And they went to him and said, listen, if you vote the right way on this, we got $100,000 for your son's election effort. If you vote the wrong way on it, your son can just as well hang it up because he will not win.
Absolutely. And I know about that. And the guy that they polled that, I think he's an American hero because he didn't go along with it, or at least he put it out that they tried to strong-arm him like that.
Yeah, he broke the code on it.
But if this guy was diddling little boys, what do you think he would have done?
Oh, you don't have to ask twice.
Yeah.
And see, that's the reason, Lee, that I keep going on about the fact that this must not be treated as an anomaly.
No,
this Mark Foley is Republican Party business as usual.
Absolutely. And you know what? And you talk about eyes. Man, the guys that I've seen on TV in the Republican Party that you talk about. Now, I try not to make judgments based on just seeing somebody. But you got a guy like John Sensenbrenner and Ted Stevens. Those are weird-looking guys.
Yeah.
They're weird looking, they're weird sounding, they're weird voting. What do they have on these guys? It's got to be really strange. And, you know, and you take a guy like John McCain. Okay, John McCain, he's the maverick. He's the Republican that's really going to stand up to George Bush. Come on, give me a break. What in the world do you think that they have on John McCain to make him swallow what they said and did about his family, and cozy up to George Bush? They have to have something really, really damaging to him.
Yeah.
I mean, well, unless he doesn't have any sense of being a man, you couldn't make me stand in the same room with George Bush if he had said that about something about my family.
Right. Well, yeah, no.
Make me stand in the same room with him without going for his throat.
Precisely. I mean, no. You not only not stand in the same. It would be you'd have to have several people to hold me, just pull me off.
Absolutely. And he stands by this guy. I mean, come on. You got to have something on these people.
Well, and the other thing we have to take into account, Lee, is this complicit media. I don't think they had the first idea that the Foley thing was going to turn into what it turned into.
No, they didn't.
I've got my little tinfoil hat on, and I thoroughly believe that this was released to stop discussion of Bob Woodward's book and the fact that, you know, we now know that Condoleezza Rice perjured herself.
As big as it did.
Yeah, but it mushroomed on him.
But you know something? I think that the biggest villain in our part of American history in our in the last 50, maybe 100 years of you know this country, the biggest villain, the person that you can really tag it on, the person that has made his $24 million a year and he deserves it, is Rush Limbaugh. I mean, this guy, you know, I used to listen to him. I travel a lot.
Yeah.
And any city you go to, you turn on the radio in a rental car or whatever, you'll find a station that's carrying Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to his garbage because I said, hey, you need to know what the enemy is thinking and how they think in order to fight it. You know what? It got to the point where I couldn't listen. He was so ridiculous, so hate-filled, I couldn't listen to him anymore. I can't listen to him anymore. I mean, you put your, if you find a pile of, you can't say the stuff on the radio, but.
Yeah, brown.
You know, a pile of you know, brown stuff. And you may not know what it is, and you put your nose down there because you want to, hey, what is this? Oh, man, but I put my nose into the Limbaugh thing and said, I can't keep it there. Mm-hmm. I know what it is now. I can't keep smelling it every day, and I can't stand to listen to him. He's the most hate-filled person I've ever heard of.
But, you know, you bring up a good point, though, Lee, because, you know, yeah, you can hear him in every city, and a lot of cities you can hear O'Reilly, a lot of cities you can hear Hannity, you can hear Glenn Beck, you can hear, you know, the list seems almost endless.
Michael Weiner.
Oh, God, yeah.
Michael Weiner. This guy is blaming it on the pages. Oh, that is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. He blamed
the pages were teasing poor Congressman Foley.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. But the thing is, I mean, they're working it for all they're worth. You know, I got Glenn Beck earlier saying that Mark Foley is suddenly the same as Cynthia McKinney.
Oh.
And, I guess it was The Daily Show last night. Jon Stewart had this montage of Republicans doing their talking points. And there were three names. There was Jerry Studs, then they mentioned Bill Clinton, and they mentioned Barney Frank.
Yeah, and I think all of them had relationships with consenting adults, didn't they?
Well, Monica was. They've alleged that Studs had sex with someone who was underage, but something about that is not right.
It's 22 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was 22 years.
Well, it's like here in West Virginia, they love to talk about the Republicans love to talk about Robert Byrd and say, well, you know, he was in the Klan. He was in the Klan in 1946.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, let's drag out everything from, let's say, from Studs' time. 20 years ago, 22 years ago, left side of the ledger, Republicans, right side, Democrats. And let's drag everybody out and let's throw all of that up on a great big old screen on TV, and let's see how long the list is. I would guarantee you that the list for the Republicans is at least 10 times as long as the Democrats.
Oh, I wouldn't take the bet because I know that to be fact.
You go into the Republican Party because you're a thief or pervert. That's where you can hide. That's where you can continue to do your thing, and they will hide you because you sold your vote. You've actually sold your vote. You sold your soul to the devil.
I agree, and that's and again, I don't think there. I don't think Mark Foley is the end of this.
No, it's absolutely not.
I think there are probably several other people who are being members of the Republican Party who are being very, very quiet right now, Lee, because they're waiting to see if the other shoe is going to drop.
Right, and you know what? There may be one or two members of the Democratic Party. And, I truly believe that. If everything came out, you're going to find a couple members of the Democratic Party. But out of that couple members of the Democratic Party, you line them up, there's going to be 20 of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And they like to say, well, it's not just Republicans. Everybody does it. Well, if everybody does it, let's put it all out in the open and let's see what everybody means. Everybody, let's see what everybody needs. Look at the numbers. And these people, they get away with it because this is a party that, if they're
They kill with impunity. 150,000 plus women and children dead in Iraq, and they're talking about finishing the job. You know, well, they kill. It's what they do.
Yeah.
They kill. Yeah. They poison.
Their lives are not as worth as much as our lives. And that's basically what they're saying.
Sure it is. And
how
you know,
you go, if somebody came into my house and said, "We got to take over your house because there's a guy." Let's just say there's a guy in your house and he's beating you kids or whatever, and he comes in and he gets rid of the guy that's beating everybody, and he stays and continues beating and won't get out. He's beating the mother worse than the father ever beat her, and he won't get out. Well, that's exactly what we're doing in Iraq.
Yeah. And that's why when you survey these people, they say things like, well, 70% of the people want us to leave now. 40, 50, 60, 70% of the people there think it's okay to attack American soldiers.
Well, that's the most chilling number. And what that says is that we can never win, because everybody that wants to kill an American soldier always has a place to hide. If he shoots at an American and he runs down the street, he can duck into 70% of the home in that area, and
yeah,
people hide him.
Well, when public opinion is at that level, Lee, what that tells you is that anybody who says it is possible to win over there, whatever the hell win means, anybody who says that's possible is either on drugs, self-deluded, or trying to delude you.
Absolutely. And just one more thing. You know,
sure.
We've had this, it's just been crazy. It's just ridiculous where they have hearings in the House and say with the oil people, and they would not put them under oath.
Yeah.
This is crazy, and I don't know who it was. It sounded like Sensenbrenner or that crazy Ted Stevens or one of them, that basically said, no, we're not going to put them under oath. You know what would really restore some integrity to the House and to the government? Anytime, say you're under presidential seal or you're in front of anything that has to do, or, you know, on the floor of the House, anytime you're in that situation, you're automatically under oath. And you can have people say, well, I'm not going to come in there if I got to be under oath just standing there. Well, good. Then we don't want to hear what you have to say.
Or
because
we will.
What you're
or we will.
Us is that you like to lie?
Yeah. Or we will subpoena you.
Yes.
And if you try to lie, we will bust you and we will imprison you.
You know, under oath is the only thing that you're saying when you're under oath is that I'm going to talk to you and I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you. What in the world is wrong with that? I'm going to talk to you and I will not lie to you. Now, if you're going to tell me, I'll talk to you, but I'm not going to say I'm not going to lie to you, then I don't want to hear what you have to say.
No. Well, what's the point? At that point, you're wasting your time. You're wasting the taxpayers' dollars. You know, we couldn't, you know, the 9/11 Commission couldn't get George Bush to take an oath, Lee.
No. And they couldn't even get him to go in there by himself.
Well, yeah.
He had to have his daddy in case he said something really stupid, which he's prone to do.
Yeah, well, no, you know, if he doesn't have a script, he's going to open his mouth and bats are going to fly out.
Yeah. Can you imagine that a United States president can't go before a committee without his nanny or his daddy?
Yeah, try that same scenario, only make it be John Kennedy.
Oh.
Or make it be Bill Clinton. Or make it be LBJ or Jimmy Carter.
You mean make it be a true American president?
Yeah. You know, one with a shred of dignity, a little bit of integrity.
Make it even be Richard Nixon. I mean, I don't agree. I didn't agree with a lot of things that Richard Nixon did or that Ronald Reagan did. But my goodness, they could go in front of a committee and make a good accounting of themselves without their vice president, you know, sitting there to wipe up their snot.
Yeah, and then, yeah, okay. Holding their hand and with their, yeah, I don't want to even think where Dick Cheney's hand was. But, oh. Yeah. You know, because I can't think of that appearance by George Bush in front of the 9/11 Commission without a mental picture of him actually sitting on Cheney's lap and Cheney's hand up behind his head making the mouth go.
Now, can you imagine an American people that could look at that picture, see their president, that can't go in front of an American committee without somebody to hold his hand? Can you think of an American people that would even think about reelecting this guy? That's what was so crazy. People didn't see him as, I mean, wow, you would vote for somebody who can't even hold his own without somebody there to wipe his nose.
Yeah, it's pathetic. When you get right down to it, Lee, it's embarrassing.
It is, absolutely. But I don't know, Bob. Last week was a really low point. I mean, I really was considering I got to get out of this country.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet, Lee. Not yet.
This week, things are looking up a little bit. Not because I'm gloating about Mark Foley's problem, but that the American people are finally beginning to see what the Republican Party is really all about. And all you got to, and especially women, they've lost the women. You talk to a woman in this country about her children and letting her children be, you know, be put into a situation like that, you've basically lost them. It was the soccer mom that the Republican Party was appealing to a couple of years ago. And you just scare the soccer moms, and they'll vote because they're scared and they want to protect their children. Well, this Republican Party has shown that not only will you not protect their children, you're willing to leave them in danger just to stay in power.
Well, it goes further than that, Lee. The fact of the matter is, they're not only not willing to protect them, they are actively willing to protect those who harm them.
Right, just for a vote.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when they found out about Mark Foley, and they probably knew about it, about 11 years ago, when they found out that this was his thing, I mean, this was a godsend to them. This is a guaranteed vote for anything we want, anytime we want it, because we got him by the gonad.
And all we got to do is be willing to jerk.
Yes.
And it remains, that part is the part that remains to be seen. Some of this has been about just letting them sit back and quietly implode. That's a popular strategy among some Democrats on Capitol Hill, Lee. On the other hand, sometimes I think you've got to actively participate in the process. And, you know, Robert Wexler did that last night appearing on Larry King Live. Nancy Pelosi's just pissed right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad to see her showing a little bit of human emotion.
Well, you know, I was about ready to give up on her. People say things about Bill Clinton. He has his pluses, he has his minuses. I love Bill Clinton. I'm an African-American, okay? He was the first black president, as far as I'm concerned. But I can't just because he's associated or he's close to Hillary, I can't get into Hillary.
Yeah, right.
She's
got to earn her own thing.
Oh man, when Hillary went along with this administration on the war, I cut ties with it. I mean, I basically cut ties with it. And as much as I respect her husband, I don't respect her. She's done. Oh man, she's done the get along, the go along to get along.
Yeah,
she was the first one to do it. Maybe she did it on the advice from her husband. I don't care, but this is the actions that I saw in her. She did the go along to get along, and she was the first one to do it, and everybody else fell just right behind her. Of course, Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman is—he was never a Democrat. He was never a Democrat. You could see that back during the debate in the Democratic primaries when the Democrats were trying to put out a good message. He was the first person to fall off and jump on Howard Dean.
Right.
He destroyed Howard Dean's campaign. Right after him, John Kerry did the same thing, started attacking Howard Dean. But Joe Lieberman was the first one. He's always been just for himself. Right now, I'm beginning to wonder, you know, what his perversion is because the Republicans have him by the gonads, too.
Well, God, I don't know. I don't know. That's why I think there needs to be such a house cleaning, Lee. I want to give a fresh crop of people a chance to come in, try to lead, and with any luck at all, have some sense that they're not going to be chasing the children, or chasing the children, or taking big bags of money from K Street.
Yeah.
You know, John Lash was right. It's about the integrity right now.
What do you think about this for? Pay for congressmen and senators that their pay be directly tagged to the minimum wage of the United States. That let's give them plenty of money, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say that they can make 10 times the minimum wage. Okay, what's the minimum wage right now? $6.
$5.25.
Yeah,
$5.15. I'm sorry, $5.15.
Okay, let's make it $6. They can make $60 an hour. Okay, they can make 10 times the minimum wage. And any time that they want want an increase in pay, it automatically increases the minimum wage because it's tagged to it.
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of possibility in something like that, Lee, because and it was mentioned on this program. I forget who we were having a conversation with, but they said we need to just quit fooling. You know, take the politics out of the minimum wage and do with it what we did with Social Security, and that is tie the rate to the cost of living, and when the cost and every you get a cost of living adjustment every year.
Well, that still wouldn't do anything with, you know, unless you make them have some skin in the game.
Yeah.
That if you say, no, Mr. Lettuce Picker, you can't have $70 an hour, $7 an hour, you're saying to them that they can't have 70. Okay.
In a way, some of that already exists, Lee, because and I didn't realize it. I was educated on this point. Civil servant salaries in D.C. are tied to congressional rates.
Okay, and that's a good thing. That's why
you don't hear a lot of Washington bureaucrats howling about congressional pay raises, because their raises happen when, you know, and that was the way that Congress was able to set it up where it could give itself automatic raises and supposedly no one would gripe.
I didn't know that, but that's a good thing. So somebody who's a I don't know what their rates are, something like a G10 or G5 or whatever.
Yeah,
that's actually pegged to that. That is.
That's my understanding. That is, yes.
Okay, that's good. Now let's tax the minimum wage on the end of that.
Or we could go the step further, Lee, that I've been advocating, and quit talking about a minimum wage and start talking about a living wage.
Hey, what about a maximum wage? What about, you know, you can't make $10 million a month. Well, yeah, some people make $10 million a month in this country.
A month? The Forbes 400 came out last week, and the richest guy in America is making $25 million an hour.
Oh, wow.
An hour. Dr. Bill O'Brien talked about it on his program, and I heard that, and, you know, I mean, if it comes out of Dr. Bill's mouth, it's like coming out of the mouth of God, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And how do you justify that? How do you justify somebody making $25 million an hour in a nation where 55 million people can't go to the doctor when they're sick?
And he wants to pass all that money on to his children, without paying any tax. I'll tell you, I love my children. And I want to give them as much an advantage, because it's a dog-eat-dog world, okay? I want to give them an advantage, give them a foot up.
Yeah, sure.
But my goodness, if my son could not make it, if I left him $3 million, let's say I could leave him $20 million, but if I could leave him $3 million untaxed, then you pay tax on the rest of it. And he couldn't make it, then he doesn't deserve to make it.
Well, you know, I think in many ways, Lee, that,
enough of a foot up.
Yeah, that kind of a legacy is a tacit confession by the person leaving the money that he has no faith whatsoever in his progeny's ability to survive.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to
put it that way.
I'd like to provide the. I hope someday I'm able to. I'd like to provide for each of my children enough money that they can go, as long as they're smart enough, go to any institution of higher learning that they want to go to for as long as they need to get the degrees that they want, and then go out into the world. At that point, I have fulfilled an obligation.
Absolutely.
And at that point, with that kind of education, if they've worked that hard, if they cannot come up with something that passes for success in this world, then that's their fault and not mine.
Absolutely. Well, I've taken up a lot of your time.
No, I love the conversation, man. I mean, that's what this is about. On this network, you're never going to be hustled off the air. I mean, that's
I appreciate it, because sometimes I just want to vent.
And sometimes you need to.
And
absolutely.
I was getting my venting from Mike Malloy.
Yeah.
He would do it for me. I mean, this guy would do it for me. I miss him, but you have a great show.
Well, thank you, Lee. Thank you very kindly. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Okay.
All right, bye now.
All right, bye.
And onward to our good friend Jim. You still there, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for waiting, man. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
One thing about civil service salaries in the National Capital Region, these are indexed to locality pay. As a matter of fact, you'll find people in San Francisco who are making more money than they are in Washington.
Because it costs more to live in Frisco.
That's right. They're not in any way connected to the congressional salary.
Well, who is connected to the congressional salary? Because I got an education on that not too long back.
They have their own salary schedule. And there are different agencies that have different salary schedules than other agencies. It's just not all one thing. It just depends on your grade. It depends on the nature of your work. It depends on just a number of things. But you just can't say they're indexed to the congressional salary system, because that's not true.
Well, I do know that when congressional salaries go up, somebody's money goes up. Besides the members of Congress. I don't know who that specifically is.
People who will make what a congressional person in the civil service makes would be like your senior executive service, SES 1 through 4.
Okay.
So, I mean, and that's over $135 a year, something like that. But I just wanted
to... Oh, so they're already living the good life.
Well, they deserve it. I mean, to become an SES 4 or 5, I mean, you've had to work damn hard. In most cases.
Now,
political appointments. These are appointments based upon merit.
So this would be like a higher up who is a career level lawyer in the DOJ, for instance.
Well, exactly. And, you know, this person has an extreme high level of responsibility, and they are. At least when I was there, they were well deserving of their pay, and they worked long and hard for it. And you know,
and they don't come and go. They don't come and go with the change in the political landscape.
No, they do not. They are residents. They're not tenants. The other people are tenants, not residents. And one other thing I'd like to say about Dennis Hastert, you know, I would have more respect for him if he would do an aquacade with some stripper in the. Final base of the way Wilbur Mills did, for him to say he had forgotten all this stuff, that's just absurd.
Well, how do you forget that, Jim?
Well, I don't know, but I remember Wilbur Mills when he went swimming with that, who was that stripper he was in love with?
Fanny...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And remember John Jenrette, My Castle Secrets by Rita?
Yep.
Remember that book? I mean, it's just a regular. I mean, Grace Battalion will have a field day with some of these storylines to get out of these people.
Well, do you think this is an isolated incident, Jim? I mean, there's something about this that makes me think that there's probably some very, very nervous people waiting to find out who gets the next name dropped.
Well, Bob May West had a good expression. A little hush money can do a lot of talking. Think about that.
Well, true enough.
And that's just what I.
But it looks like they're this reminds me of that lithograph of the sleigh or whatever going through the woods, being pursued by wolves, and every now and then they throw one of their own over the back of the sleigh.
Yeah, and I would imagine they have their little black book on everybody, and they have reminded them, you know, just don't forget.
Well, that's the whip's job, isn't it, in a way?
Exactly. If his job is to have secret agents follow people around and collect dirt on them, as to which nightclub they, you know, attend or have fun at on their weekends or whatever they do. But I'm sure they have people who have very long, long noses and longer ears and very prying eyes.
And oddly enough, I mean, in this Foley business, Jim, the trick with that is that wasn't even necessary in this instance. The information was brought to them.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about how they're going to react to it and, you know, keeping people quiet and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm just, like I say, this is just pure speculation on my part. One thing I wanted to, one of your callers was talking about the funeral of someone in Iraq who was a Wiccan.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I don't know if it's still in effect or not, but I have read D.A. Pamphlet for Chaplains, and they have a selected burial service for everybody of any faith, okay? No matter what you are.
Right.
A D.A. Pamphlet comes from Department of Army's regulations, which comes from DOD directives, and DOD directives comes from public law. So that's how the structure of that informational system is devised, but Army chaplains are supposed to be able to reasonably conduct any type of service to which, or for that religion to which that person belongs, whether it's Wiccan, whether it's Buddhist, whether it's even they have instructions as to what to do for people who belong to the Church of Satan. I mean, they do.
Yet this poor man's family. Can't get a marker.
Well, I don't know about the markers. I just know about the rights of service and mm-hmm. what they're supposed to do for the people. Now, this DA PAM was dated in the 70s, and it could have been superseded by other regulations. I don't know, but it's just something that I have a copy of it around here somewhere, and I've tried to find it, but I can't. But chaplains are supposed to be able to accommodate the wishes of the next of kin and the wishes of the deceased, according to which religion they subscribe.
Yeah, with regard to just about any faith or no faith at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they are. As far as the regulations governing the types of markers and things, I don't know, but they're supposed to be able to accommodate people in their religious predilections if they are, you know, lost in the line of duty and.
Well, there's a stink being raised by the right wing religion industry right now, Jim, with regard to military chaplains. There's a guy who and chaplains are officers, right?
Yes, they are.
There's an Air Force chaplain who disobeyed a direct order not to pray, quote unquote, in Jesus' name in this public prayer. He went and he did it anyway, and he's been brought up on some level of charges, and he says he's being persecuted for being a follower of Jesus.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be able to do that if they want to. That's the desire of the person.
No, I'm talking about a regulation with regard to public prayer, and he was directly ordered not to, and he disobeyed a direct order.
Well, that's a whole different ball game there. And whoever gave him that direct order, well, I don't know. Obviously, that person had some reason for doing it. Therefore, it was done. But the only thing I know about are the burial rites and things of that nature.
Yeah.
If a person belongs to a particular faith, then they are entitled to beast giveth it send off according to the dictates of that faith or the belief of that faith. That's all I know.
And they'll and then they also they will accommodate practitioners of the faith who are out of uniform as well. Is that correct?
What do you mean, Bob?
Well, I mean, you know, if you want the parish priest at the funeral.
Oh, yeah, they're very accommodating on that. As a matter of fact, basically what you do is you simply submit the proper paperwork to the local funeral home who's surrounding it, and they will, I mean, who is dealing with the body and or whomever, and they will, you know, if you want a military funeral, then, of course, that's, you send a copy of a DD-14 to the branch of service to which they belong, and that's what's going to happen, and basically up to the family as to whether or not they want this or whether or not they want that. You know, they will get a local battalion, a local squadron of people there to be at the funeral if they want a full military funeral and this, that, and the other.
Well, I hope they get some resolution to this family gets some resolution because the person's entitled to have his religion noted on his marker.
Well, you know, if that's what he was, if that's what he wants, that's fine.
That's what ought to be.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the Wiccans basically believe do no harm to anybody. So
pretty good. That's a pretty good start as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I wish that there were other people who subscribe to the same belief as to do no harm to anyone. And you know, but that's basically all I have to say about those three particular things about the civil service schedule, salaries, and the National Capital Region. My opinion of Mr. Hassett and his.
Well, then, yeah, the next thing, Jim, is to find out who's the next person to go under the bus.
You know, it's just amazing how discretionary memories can become. And then it also, that sort of cuts both ways. It also brings to mind the fact that it's just imagine, you can only imagine how accurate memories can become. And it's a matter of COG, convenience to the government.
Yeah.
Or whomever is in charge of calling the shots at that particular time. So, I don't know, but I'm sure there's some pretty thick black books up there. And, you know, as I've said once before, and I'll say this again, when it comes to people testifying and people making statements to support certain allegations made and to make these things stick, you know, a little hush money can do a lot of talking.
True enough, and even more so if the hush money gets found out. Jim, thank you very kindly.
All right, sir. Good night.
Have a good night. Bye now. And off to the news. We'll be back. And a little something, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll come to you in a moment. But also a little something with regard to the tragic killings in Pennsylvania a couple of days ago. I think you're going to be just stunned and horrified by this. But in the meantime, we go to the news. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
News Network. Former Representative Mark Foley's former chief of staff resigned today in the wake of the salacious email scandal. He says he warned the GOP leadership 3 years ago about Foley's inappropriate behavior. However, House Speaker Dennis Hastert's office denies receiving any such warning. In Cincinnati, a federal appeals court ruled today that the Bush administration can continue the warrantless surveillance program while it appeals a prior ruling that found the program unconstitutional. President Bush has signed into law the $35 billion Homeland Security bill. It includes $1.2 billion for 700 miles of fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as funds to overhaul FEMA. In California, former Hewlett-Packard chairwoman Patricia Dunn and four others were indicted today in connection with the company's media leak scandal. They face charges including using false or fraudulent pretenses to obtain information and conspiracy. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials have pulled hundreds of policemen off the streets of Baghdad, and a top commander has been arrested. They're under investigation for allowing death squads to move freely around the capital. Also, in a mostly Christian neighborhood of Baghdad today, 12 people were killed in a triple bombing. A total of 28 people were killed in attacks today, including two more U.S. soldiers. Contained in the multi-billion dollar bills passed this year to continue funding the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, with $20 million earmarked for a celebration in the nation's capital once the war in Iraq is over. That money is being rolled over into 2007. In the West Bank today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pledged that the United States will help improve living conditions for the Palestinians. She said she would urge Israel to reopen the Gaza border crossings. In Tehran, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is inviting foreign tourists to visit his country's nuclear facilities. He says that will prove that Iran's uranium enrichment program is peaceful. GM has ended talks on forming a possible three-way alliance with Nissan and Renault. The parties were reportedly too far apart in determining the financial value of the proposed alliance. And the U.S. Forest Service says that this year's wildfires, which have burned nearly 10 million acres so far, cost more than $1.5 billion to fight. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
An American professor at Stanford University's medical school has been awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. His work could help researchers understand how cell disturbances are involved in diseases such as cancer. His father also won a Nobel Prize half a century ago. U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents will stop seizing small amounts of lower-priced prescription drugs sent from Canada to American customers. This policy change takes effect on Tuesday. Apple Computer CEO Steve Jobs apologized today to shareholders and employees following an investigation into the company's stock option practices. Computer company Fujitsu is the latest company to recall Sony notebook batteries. The Japanese electronics maker is recalling 287,000 Sony-made batteries. The U.S. automaker's list of the most popular vehicles sold in September shows a Ford F-Series pickup truck at number one. The Chevrolet Silverado came in at number two. The Economics Times reports Anheuser-Busch plans to invest nearly $22 million in a joint venture with India's Crown Breweries. And Hewlett-Packard plans to build a second $22 million plant in India. Light sweet crude settled at $59.41 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 123 points at an all-time high of 11,850. NASDAQ up 47, S&P 500 up 16. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Coming up on 8 minutes after the hour, I want to share something with you before we go back to the phones. Y'all are a creative bunch. This comes from our friend Michael in Columbus, Ohio. And it's especially fitting for prayer meeting. The Republican's Prayer from the Book of Revelations according to Rove, chapter 9.
Blessed be the fetuses born unto the poor. Blessed be these children who grow up to fight the war. Blessed be the oil that fuels our SUV. Blessed be our leader who keeps us safe and free. Blessed holy marriage, protect us from the queers. Blessed be our churches, such glorious veneers. Blessed be the fox who shines the light of truth. Blessed be O'Reilly, role model for our youth. Blessed be the veterans, how bravely they have fought. Blessed be the nation who leaves them all to rot. Blessed corporations, take away our living wage. Blessed Part D Medicare, let us suffer through old age. Blessed be the machines that count the votes for us. Blessed be the Supreme Court, if the Democrats should make a fuss. Blessed be your phones, we'll tap them if we please. Blessed, you'll be hauled to Gitmo if you so much as sneeze. Blessed be the tax cuts. The wealth trickles down to all, like sheets of paper from the windows of burning towers before the fall. Blessed be Katrina, she'll wash away the poor. Blessed Dead Bull Connor, could not have dreamt for more. Blessed be the homeland, we must preserve security. Blessed be the Muslims, we will torture them with glee. Blessed be our guns, today we'll shoot them all. Blessed be the liberals as they're lined up against the wall. Blessed be the flag, these colors never run. Blessed be the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the Son. Amen. Wow. Just wow. That's amazing. I don't know which part of that I like best, or which part horrifies me most. Blessed be the liberals as they're lined up against the wall. Because I've got another email here from our good friend Rick down in Panama City, Florida. And he's got some, it's from his website, alasbabylon.com. And he writes, for days now I've heard the Democrats and Republicans snorting, screaming, huffing and puffing over this Foley thing to the point of exasperation. It's not that I don't enjoy it. God knows I do. But it really is much to do over nothing, at least on the Democrats' side. First, the Democratic leadership actually believes the Republican proletariat gives a brown word. Sorry, they don't. Like their 1930 Nazi counterparts, they couldn't care less because Foley is their guy. I mean, what's a few congressional virgin butts violated for the sake of the bigger picture in the grand scheme of things like outlawing abortion, stopping queers from getting married, and putting pinko commie fag Democrats in Gitmo to be used and, says Rick, abused. And this is the sad part because he's right. He says, check out the Freeper sites and you'll see I'm not lying. Fact is, Foley doesn't matter. 24 dead soldiers in Iraq this week doesn't matter. Hundreds of dead Iraqis this month doesn't matter. And if that doesn't matter, how could Foley? Please don't call me cynical again. I don't deserve it. Then there's this, the big October surprise with a little Democratic O. The Democrats have rolled out their big, however anal, October surprise yelling, hey-ya, hey-ya, ya-ya-ya-ya, Foley's gay, preys on kids, and might have screwed a gay teenager. Holy, there's some news. Oh, sure, the minion Republicans are standing in a circle, seemingly destroying each other. But what difference will it make? Why do I ask? Because Uncle Carl is coming, and with what he has planned for we Americans, it will leave us not even remembering Foley's name. Uncle Carl is going to kill some of us. Will it be a dirty bomb? A biological strike? A downed airliner full of orphans? A blown-up nuclear plant? Who the hell knows? But Uncle Carl is ready, and he and Bush are laughing about what comes next. And yeah, it'll be guaranteed to blow your mind. Hopefully Uncle Carl will only present us with a recently thawed-out Bin Laden corpse. But since this crowd of frat boys is so god-awful mean, don't bet on it. So nice try, Democrats. I give you an E for efforts, but when you put a devil like Uncle Carl in check, be ready to be mated to the filth power. Rick says, good luck and keep your head down. To the filth power. A lot of genius out there that we connect to with this program and the other programs on the horn. Kind of makes me humble. Let's go to Maine. Our good friend David awaits. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening. About that, you know, people put so much focus on Karl Rove. And to me, that's the biggest problem, because as soon as you say Carl's name, and I know what Rick is saying, but you're basically what you're doing is you're just downplaying what everyone is doing. And it's just, I mean, it's ridiculous. Of course you're going to lose sometimes, and of course, but you know what? Carl's not going to be around forever, Rick. I'm sorry, he's not. And he's going to...
Yeah, but David, it's the time that he is around that's terrifying, and he's still here.
Yeah, but you go through cycles and transitions. It happens all the time. And I know this. I lived... When Reagan was coming up, I had the same thing. I had to deal with my mom. This is the same thing I hear from Rick, is the same thing that I heard about Reagan, all of Reagan's parties, whenever the speeches were on. This is like deja vu for me. And let me tell you, one person is not going to bring down a world or a country. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to have cracks and fissures, but it's not going to bring down a country.
Oh, I don't think they intend to bring down the country, David.
What people need to keep focusing on?
You know, just terrify a few people a little bit. You know, enough to bring in. You know, I remember, and I've got a little perspective on this, David, because back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio, when I was busily trying to speak to the fifth smallest radio market in America, I had people call and say, "Well, you talk about this Patriot Act too, and you act like it already exists. Have you ever seen a copy of it?" You know, these little right wingers. And I said, "Well, you know, I've read some of the proposals." "Well, you know, that's just liberal paranoia." Guess what? Whether people realize it or not, Patriot Act 2 is the torture bill that just got passed.
I agree with you, Bob. But when you chastise everything, which is what I heard in that letter, and that's cool and all, but really, if you keep spreading that and we keep having that attitude, you're right. Nothing is going to change. And that is the problem that we face with a lot of people. They say, "Well, it doesn't matter because we built this mystique about Karl Rove that drives me crazy. He's a guy from Texas for damn sake. I mean, come on."
And he really does look like the evil little character from Raiders of the Lost Ark. I hadn't thought about that, but that's absolutely true.
I said he was from Texas, and you say he's from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well, pop culture for you.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Points of reference.
Yeah, exactly. You know, about this thing, by the way, Drudge has just uncovered that the guy was over 18, so let that simmer in your mind for a bit.
Which guy? I mean, there's...
The guy in the AIM message.
He was over 18?
When it was done.
So this doesn't mean... So is Drudge backing off on his charge that it was children who were baiting poor Mark Foley?
I don't know, but the thing to keep important... People, listen, I hear a lot of people who say Drudge doesn't matter. To me, Drudge is more of a channeler than someone like Karl Rove. Did you know he's the guy that kick-started, exactly, he kick-started the Swift boats. He's the guy that did it.
Sure.
When he put that blue siren next, forget about Karl Rove, when he put that blue siren next, that is what started everything of Swift boats. That blue siren is the ticket to Drudge's little, his trademark. When people see that blue siren next to something, they're like, uh-oh, emergency. And everybody pays attention, and the phones ring off everywhere.
And, yeah, and Hannity talks about it. And
right.
And Limbaugh.
Guy. Here's a guy who only makes $1 million a year. Think about this. Here's a guy who makes $1 million a year. He runs a site. He doesn't have a webmaster. So people who tell me you can't get the media and the message out, you know what? You need to be quiet. You need to shut that down immediately and just point to somebody like Matt.
Well,
Matt was a mailboy, for goodness sake.
Well, I understand that, David, but you're missing something, I think.
I'm not missing anything about Karl Rove. I've heard.
No. You're missing about Matt Drudge, because yeah, if you're one guy running a really really dull looking website, but you get noticed by the right wing machine.
Right.
You're in, man. You've got it made, and you can do anything you like and pretty well get away with it. And some of the, well, David Brock, not David Brock, is it David Brock? Media Matters, that used former right wing hitman. Yeah, I think it is. You know, he's told stories about Matt Drudge that would, you know, my right. God. But the fact of the matter is, if you tap into the right wing zeitgeist, the right wing will do everything in its power to accommodate you and make you and elevate you.
Oh, I agree with you, and
see,
to some extent.
Yeah, we've got people doing things very similar to what Matt Drudge does on the left, and you know, and they labor in a relative obscurity and anonymity, and if they and half the time, you know, the so-called rich liberals say things like, well, you know, they're conspiracy theorists, and you know, they're not helping the cause. You know, nine out of ten pieces of the crap that Matt Drudge throws up against the wall don't stick. Most of them turn out to be outright lies.
Well, you know what it is, Bob? It was all timing with Drudge. He was able to get in at a time during the Clinton scandal. He was the first one to have a web portal news site of that caliber, of those kind of news stories that he put together that interest him. His interest in dead cats and just everything. Did you listen to those sound bites I gave you?
Yeah, I did.
You see, that's the kind of stuff he puts on the radio that nobody pays attention to. But now I see Crooks and Liars is paying attention. They should be paying attention to it.
Yeah.
But
I understand what you're saying, David, about overemphasizing the impact of Karl Rove.
It's the mystique of him, and you know
he's become our boogeyman.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. And when you tell somebody, this is what I'm saying. When you say to somebody, Democrats and Republicans, you don't know what Karl's coming up. I mean, after a while, it's people going to be like, why even vote? If you keep spreading that message, it's like a viral infection.
Yeah, because Karl's going to steal the vote. Sure.
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is that no matter what you think the future will be, you should just keep fighting anyway. If not, you're part of the problem, not the solution.
No,
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I get all of that. I would rather see Karl Rove used as a motivating tool for our side than as a reason to quit. And I don't think Rick is necessarily given up, but he's a pretty cynical, disgusted human being, and I don't know what happens later this month. You know, we're 4 days into October, and Rove giggled and said, "Yeah, I've got an October surprise for you." You know, is that false bravado? Is that just him trading on the reputation? I don't know, but it's not so much Karl Rove for me, David. It's the whole stinking, dirty, filthy, blood-fisted administration. There is nothing these people won't do. They look straight in. You know, remember when you used to turn on right-wing radio and you'd hear Rush bloviating about, why, well, that man looked straight into the cameras and he said, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Linda. He looked at us. He looked us in the eye, America. My God, who can we trust? What will we tell the children? Do you remember all that?
Right. And
Condoleezza Rice looked squarely into the eyes of the 9/11 Commission and Congress, and now because of the Bob Woodward book, we know that she told a direct lie. I mean, it wasn't like she was fudging on the facts. It wasn't like she was, you know, hedging her bets. She outright lied. And we're talking about a dirty congressman.
And you know what the funny thing about it is that all you have to do is say to that person, if a page sent me those emails, I'd be like, well, why did you block him? That's what I'd say. Like the first thing that he got that was kind of inappropriate, why would you carry on a conversation with him? That's the problem with the have a lot.
Well, I mean, if you read the transcripts, one of these kids, and I'm sorry, I mean, look, I'm going to catch some hell for this.
Right.
One of these kids was apparently kind of kinky in the first place. You know, he admits to Foley in the exchange that he has a hang up about castes. You know, I mean, I can't make this stuff up, and I'm not going to criticize. You know, look, what goes on between consenting adults is what goes on between consenting adults. Okay, fine. But
he's over 18, and
well, he is,
wonder,
or maybe.
I wonder if that will get to. I guess ABC News this is what they're saying. ABC accidentally put his screen name up on the blog site, and I guess some people captured it.
Huh.
And it sounds kind of suspicious.
Well, I mean, there have been. I've seen. I saw a young man interviewed on one program in the last couple of days. You know, I did the age calculation because he mentioned how old he was then and what the year was then and what is now. And you know, it's clear that, right, you know, the guy's 26 years old now, but he wasn't when he was a page. And we're talking about something in this guy's in this guy's particular instance. We're talking about something that happened in 1997.
You know, everything to me is just when you say what the October surprise could be, I think Ahmadinejad knows. You know why? Because today in his speech he was saying death to America, death to. Oh, I'm sorry, NSA. I didn't mean that.
Well, no, he was just trying to run the oil price up a little bit.
Maybe, or maybe he knows.
Well, no, you know. I mean, Greg Palast is 100% correct, David. Every time he says death to America,
right?
The futures, the future prices of oil go up. Every time, you know, every time the Hugo Chavez comes out and says something about George Bush, the price of oil goes up. Every time the Bush administration comes out and says something nasty about Iran, Iraq, Syria, or Venezuela, the price of oil goes up. You know, this is a con.
It's all just playing a big game of Monopoly.
Well, yeah, and there's a little aspect of Texas Hold'em in there too.
Texas Hold'em, right?
Because it's a bluffing game. There's a little bit of skill involved, but a whole hell of a lot of it's just plain dumb luck.
You know, I saw Iraq for Sale yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And they were talking about the contractors, and they were talking about basically how much what they had to deal with convoys and the truckers.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, and it was really interesting because it seems like nobody is doing anything. And then they have one of the bonus scenes is Robert Greenwald puts together all the amendments that the Democrats tried to bring to the House, and it's crazy. It's like six or seven or eight, and they show you exactly who voted. It's a really good, it's some really good scenes. And the thing that grabs me is that all of the people, and then all of the people just basically one person after the other one, some people even crazed on the floor going, I can't believe nobody's doing this. And it really puts it in perspective. Like, this is what they'll be studying in history. Like, you really didn't sign that?
I know. No, there's going to be a lot to answer for in history. But there's got to be people willing to ask those questions. And right now, it's about dumbing down people to the point where no one can. You know, history is written by the victors, David.
That's true. But you know, maybe we won't have this history and it will all just vanish somehow.
Get caught up in the rapture, yay, verily. Oh.
It's going to be a mix of a lot of sensationalism, our next history books. It's going to look like the National Enquirer.
Well, I looked at my daughter's high school American history book when she, you know, what, 11th grade or something, and it looked like a lot like the National Enquirer then. I mean, there were more pictures than there were words.
The chapters of the new American century history books, textbooks, will be like, did Democrats help us lose this war? With a question mark. Like, then they'll study the war on terror, and they'll tell you...
Democrats, spineless or lily-livered?
I mean, that's what they... Did you see Neil Cavuto? I don't know if you caught that piece, but there's...
Yeah, I did.
Bradlaugh? You see what they're lining up? Just in case the election gets taught of the hacking of the vote, if we have such a big spike in Democratic votes, I wonder if they're going to come out and say election fraud.
Oh, yeah, there can't be that. There can't possibly be that many Democratic voters. Jesus. I know. Amazing, isn't it, David?
I mean, there's just so much to. It's so complex an issue, and that's why.
We are losing stuff down the memory hole in the course of this Foley business, but our dear Supreme Court Justice Fat Tony Scalia.
Yeah.
He's a creepy little bastard too, and has said something in court, I think yesterday, that should have ordinarily caught somebody's eye, but nigh just got away with it. They were discussing a case, David, turning on whether or not a couple of Mexican guys should be deported, and the legal issues are convoluted and a mess, and it makes my head hurt just to contemplate them. But it has to do with whether or not one of the cases has to do with whether or not the person in question was violating the terms of his probation. Okay?
Right.
And in most terms of probation, you will see a statement there, you know, shall not consume alcohol or any illegal drugs, right? Mm. Okay. So Scalia is on the bench. And he says this from the bench. And a question is asked, and someone says, well, he's still subject to the supervised release portion of his sentence. And then John Roberts came out and he said he wondered how a deportee can possibly be subject to his probation conditions if there's no one to supervise him. Okay. And the lawyer then says that his client is still not allowed to, quote, use alcohol or associate with persons, blah, 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 blah. And then Scalia chimes in and says, quote, the doctrine of standing is more than an exercise in the conceivable. Nobody thinks that your client is really, you know, abstaining from tequila down in Mexico because he's on supervised release in the United States. Is that offensive?
That's his opinion.
You know, why does it, you know, I mean, it goes to the whole, you know, the lazy, drunken Indian Mexican laying around, swilling tequila, you know, trying to get to the bottom of the bottle so he can get the worm.
You know, Bob, people always think they have the things figured out, but it's never going to turn out the way we think it is. And that's just...
Sometimes they're two or three moves ahead of us on the board.
I know, but you just have to keep thinking, and whatever plays out. But like I say, to take everybody and just say, oh, it's no use anyways, and just throw everything in the garbage can. It's just such a
No. I won't quit fighting. I don't want anybody to quit fighting.
Right,
but I think we do have to keep our eyes open.
But what I'm saying is, it's like a viral infection. A lot of my friends and a lot of people I know are exactly have that attitude. And the thing is when you keep it, when you don't keep it to yourself, you say it to someone else. It's like a viral infection when you spread it in email. And I know this because I've seen a reaction of it in a room. It's just a viral infection.
Well, let's take it for what it is and understand that we best serve ourselves and we best serve the future of this country when we operate with our eyes wide open and without some sort of Pollyanna-ish notion that, you know, now that we found out that Mark Foley's a sicko, that somehow this is going to cause a Republican collapse. For me, I hope the Democrats understand that they've got to continue to push these issues and that they've got to talk about them. And it's not just Mark Foley. It's the Iraq War. My God, how many American soldiers have died in Iraq in the last week? It's a number, or in the last couple of days, it's a number that's higher than have died in the same time period in a year or more. You know, 96 hours, 18 GIs, 24 GIs, something like that.
You know,
we've got to stay focused.
You know, every week we get another chance to change something. I don't think we ever run out of chances, ever. That's my opinion. And I know a lot of people, because I hear it all the time, and I'm like, I understand what you're saying about the concentration camps and the rapture and the lava coming up, and we're all going to be in gas chambers and all of that. But, you know, after a while, it's like, it's never going to turn out the way you think it is, and you just have to keep fighting. And whatever was meant to happen will happen. And with your input, you help.
I think they got David. Somehow or another, we just lost David. Maybe his phone died. No, I understand. Let it serve as a motivating force. Operate with your eyes wide open. Understand that these are some evil, machinating, twisted, sick creatures that are trying to manipulate America. Hell, they're trying to manipulate you. Look at you. Lucky you that you are operating with your eyes wide open and you see when you're being manipulated. You know, bless. Bless his heart, George Macaca Allen. He bought an infomercial in the state of Virginia yesterday, begging people to please talk about the issues instead of his crappy character. Oh man, I mean, you know it's getting weird when a repig like Macaca Allen wants to talk about issues. But see, that's code. That's Repiglican code for I want to talk about 9/11. I want to scare your ass some more. Right, right. You know, I've got an email here from our good friend Sue on Big Coal River. One of my kids, I mean, this is how desperate and ugly it's getting. I mean, just to give you a little slice of life here in the Mountain State. One of my kids heard the new John Racy campaign ad. Now, John Racy owns a whole bunch of radio stations around the state. He's basically responsible for the radio broadcasts of Mountaineer football and, to some extent, Marshall football. To use that phrase that was taken that John Lash liked so much, he's got enough money to burn a whole herd of sopping wet elephants. He is the media in the state of West Virginia in a large part. And basically what Racy has done in his latest filthy campaign ad against Senator Byrd is to take a tape of Senator Byrd saying the N-word. He appeared on Fox some several years ago, and he said, you know, my mama always told me that there was white N-words and black N-words, which is one of those old, unreconstructed racist excuses for using that filthy, filthy word. But so they've got Robert Byrd on tape saying that word. And what Sue tells me is that Racy has taken the tape where he says it, cut out the rest of it, and Racy's new ad just has Byrd repeating the N-word over and over and over. Welcome to the campaign. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. You know? Now I want to take you somewhere a little bit different. I mentioned going into the news that I had something relating to the school shooting up in Pennsylvania. It's not a school shooting. It's a people shooting. It's a child shooting. That guaranteed Republican who went in and murdered those children. Now come on, you're not sitting around with 600 rounds of ammunition and you're a liberal Democrat, okay? I mean, I got guns, but I don't have 600 rounds of ammunition. No, this is an NRA life member here, okay? But it turns out, have you seen this? Have you heard this? Yeah, I'm on radio asking you what you've seen. Dear God, I need a vacation. the Katie Couric with her free speech segment. Did you see the free speech segment relating to the children shooting in Pennsylvania? Well, I've got it here, and wait till you hear it. Where did they, who did they go to for commentary? Liberal media? You know, where's that goober that wrote the liberal bias book? Where is that man now? Can't find him anywhere now that he's made his million. He's on an island somewhere. You know, because he told a bunch of lies that there's a liberal media out there. I want you to hear this. This begins with Katie Couric. And the commenter's name is Rohrbaugh. He's the father of one of the victims at Columbine. We'll try to get... I don't know if we'll get all the way through this without me having to stop it, but we'll try. Let's start, Agnes.
Because of the tragedy in Pennsylvania, we've decided to hold the free speech we had planned to bring you. Instead, we've called on someone who knows all too well the pain the families in Lancaster County are feeling tonight.
Cue the music.
Brian Rohrbaugh lost his son Dan in the Columbine Massacre, and we asked him to share his thoughts.
I'm saddened and shaken by the shooting at an Amish school today.
So far, so good.
And last week's school murders. When my son Dan was murdered on the sidewalk at Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999, I hoped that would be the last school shooting. Since that day, I tried to answer the question, why did this happen? This country is in a moral freefall.
Here it comes.
For over two generations, the public school system is taught in a moral vacuum, expelling God from the school and from the government, replacing him with evolution, where the strong kill the weak
stop it,
without
Agnes.
Moral con.
You get this? I mean, we're not done. This guy uses... CBS goes and finds this creep who had his son murdered by a couple of, well, Klebold and whatever. And he gets a forum on the national airwaves to talk about a tragedy that went down in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and he uses it as an opportunity to advance the weird agenda of the right wing. Once again, may I remind you that there is no such thing as a liberal media. Go ahead, Agnes.
Sequences. And life has no inherent value. We teach there are no absolutes, no right or wrong. And I assure you, the murder of innocent children is always wrong.
Here it comes.
Including by abortion.
Oh!
Abortion has diminished the value of children. Suicide has become an acceptable action and has further emboldened these criminals. And we are seeing an epidemic increase in murder-suicide attacks on our children. Sadly, our schools are not safe. In fact, we now witness that within our schools, our children have become a target of terrorists from within the United States.
Go ahead. Just run your head into a wall. It hurts. But it's about the only thing you feel you can do when you're dealing with garbage like that. This man lost a son in a tragedy that happened because this is a nation awash in firearms. And he gets a call from CBS to try to reach out. You know, I don't know, maybe they meant well. Maybe Katie Couric meant well in the staff meeting when she said, "Baby, and what is she turning? Is she turning into Marge Simpson's sister Selma? What is it? What is she smoking Pall Malls now?"
You know, maybe we can get hold of one of the Columbine victims' parents, and they can reach out to these people in Lancaster County, and maybe they can help them feel a little bit better.
And this guy starts talking about how it's the evolutionists' fault? What do you make of that? You know, if only... You know, what? They teach moral relativism and there's no right and there's no wrong. So what? I mean, if we'd been teaching that Adam and Eve rode to Sunday school on the back of a dinosaur, this creep, this monster, this murderer would not have gone into this little one-room schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, and shot up a bunch of little girls? Is that what we're supposed to take away from this? That if only in the schools we were teaching that the earth is 5,000 years old and was created in 7 days, that this would not have happened? What? I mean, this didn't run live. This didn't run live. CBS had an opportunity to look at it and go, free speech or no free speech. This is not going to run. This is sick. But no, we get, no, well, no, we got that.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen. I grieve for that guy. When Columbine went down, we all wept. And we hugged our children a little bit more closely. Go back to it, Annette. Let's hear this goober one more time. We reached out to this man.
Because of the tragedy in Pennsylvania, we've decided to hold the free speech we had planned to bring you. Instead, we've called on someone who knows all too well the pain the families in Lancaster County are feeling tonight. Brian Rohrbaugh lost his son Dan in the Columbine Massacre, and we asked him to share his thoughts.
I'm saddened and shaken by the shooting at an Amish school today and last week's school murders. When my son Dan was murdered on the sidewalk at Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999, I hoped that would be the last school shooting. Since that day, I tried to answer the question, why did this happen? This country is in a moral freefall. For over two generations, the
pause
public
it,
school
Agnes,
system
please,
is taught...
Agnes, pause
in-
it. I am so sick of hearing about moral freefalls. I am so sick of hearing about moral vacuums and moral relativism and how it's the fault of the secular liberals. That is so much hogwash. When I heard this clip, I felt violated. Because I had personally grieved, as all of us did, for this man. And he wants to take an opportunity that is given him by CBS to reach out to the suffering, to the grieving, to advance his sick, dead, ignorant, dead from the neck up, fascistic, ham-fisted, religion-poisoned agenda on a nation that is grieving again.
Moral vacuum, expelling God from the school and from the government, replacing him with evolution, where the strong kill the weak without moral consequences.
Stop. Stop.
And life has no inherent...
Evolution is not where the strong kill the weak without moral consequences. That's not evolution at all. But that is the way it's being framed, and there are millions, if not $1 billion, being poured into it by various and sundry right-wing foundations to try to convince America that that's what it's about. Those poor little children did not die because Charles Darwin and legions of scientists who have followed him have actually begun to unlock the keys and the mysteries of life itself. The Nobel Prize for Physics went out to a couple of American scientists, I believe, yesterday, who've gotten a little closer to understanding the very origin of the universe itself. And that man hates that kind of learning. And that man hates evolution. But you know what? There will come a day when he'll be rolled into an emergency room somewhere, and evolutionary science might save his sorry hide. Let's hear the rest of it.
Value. We teach there are no absolutes, no right or wrong. And I assure you, the murder of innocent children is always...
And I assure you, the murder of innocent children is always wrong. Like I needed that freak to tell me that. Now, you're liberal, you're progressive. Are you out there teaching people, teaching children that there's no right and there's no wrong? I'm as liberal as they come. And Agnes and I work on right and wrong every blessed day. Because you know what? Morality doesn't come from some 5,000-year-old holy book. Morality comes from inside you. The atheists that I know are some of the single most moral people I have ever met in my life, because they know they got one shot on this planet to get it right. And they work at getting it right every blessed day. You know, this is not the time for me to whip out the Old Testament and start reading you the really gross parts. You've already read them yourself. You know what's there. You know the stories of the rapes and the murders and the genocides that are contained in the Old Testament. You know the hatred and the misogyny that's contained in the letters of St. Paul. To suggest that you have to open the Bible to get morality is just ignorant. And for this guy, because his next breath is abortion. You know, I think it's time for Katie Couric to fold her tents and give it up. She needs to go back to doing the weather or something, because she certainly has no business whatsoever in the chair once occupied by Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite. She's done already. This is just embarrassing. I got an email today. And it's quite telling. And I'm thumbing through here. I'm trying to find it. But basically, it says the correspondent wrote, that he has a great, great deal of sympathy for the families who suffered the losses that they suffered in the shooting in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. But the fact of the matter is that the correspondent noted, and I printed it out now, I can't find it. I'll find it here in a second. But what he said was that at the same time, while he feels profound, here it is. I'll read it. It's our friend Greg. I feel terrible about the Amish tragedy. It was awful and very sad. But Greg notes, don't believe the meme about the Amish. I travel to New Berlin and Millersburg all the time. Look at an Amish gift store, and you will find many right-wing political books, especially books by Focus on the Family, James Dobson. And there's truth in all of that. Those children weren't responsible for what happened to them. And, you know, did it dawn on this goober that CBS had on that it was an Amish school? These children were there. They had classes in German, not evolutionary biology. This wasn't a public school. This was one of those much vaunted private schools that the right wing is so fond of. I don't think CBS, ABC, NBC, I don't think they're even trying anymore. Let's go to the phones. Albert calls from Wisconsin. Hey, Albert, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. How are you today?
I'm getting by.
Yeah, that was about one of the most hard things I've heard today, and there's been a lot of hard things going on to listen to. I'm dumbfounded. I can't believe. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the Amish families who don't have television? Is that what he's doing?
Beats me. You know, I guess he's just talking to us secular liberals who are responsible for the death of those children.
More guilt. Yeah, more guilt. Like, we don't care about the 150,000 people in Iraq, how many people in Afghanistan, 30,000 and climbing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes it hard for me to sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what we've done in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this guy, and CBS wants to give this guy a national forum to come on and say it's my fault?
Yeah. How dare you talk about the similarities between the species and, you know, and the ongoing progression we see in fruit flies and everything else that is documented in scientific. The ignorance of such a statement. I mean, you know what this also reminds me of? Do you remember that back in the Columbine days, they had two families running around all the evangelical, Baptist, Christian, money-making circles saying, it was my daughter who said she believed in Jesus before she got shot. Two of them. Two families, two mothers and fathers. How can two sets of parents be the same as one child? I mean, these people have no shame. They have no shame. They have almost no integrity. How do you have integrity about this? How can you sit there and talk?
And they're ignorant, Albert. I mean, this guy says there's no absolutes. Yeah. What about we go over to chemistry class and learn about absolute zero? What about the absolutism that's contained? Our friend Susan out in Columbia City, Oregon, writes to me to say, what about E equals MC squared? It don't get much more absolute than that.
Well, what about the absolution of, you know, when we bomb a wedding in Iraq or Afghanistan and we kill the people there? You know, what about the postpartum abortions we perform daily? You know, what about, you know, you over here, they'll talk about how they want, you know, they want to teach intelligent design and all these other half-wit theories from swine who just all they want is their money and fame, and so they can run around with prostitutes and whatever else they want to do. You know, they want that. At the same time, they don't want to pay taxes, but they want war and destruction and death so Jesus can return when the bodies pile high enough, and then we can kill two-thirds of the Jews and, you know,
yeah,
convert the other third. I mean, these people, oh, man, I what do you say?
You see what it does to me? I mean, it's doing the same thing to you. You're reduced to the point where you're going, burp.
I couldn't believe you played it. I can't believe it. And Katie Couric. I mean, that's why I said it a little earlier. I mean, Edward R. Murrow has possessed Steve Olbermann.
Yeah, because there's a reason for it. The ghost had to quit CBS.
Yeah. Katie Couric.
You know, Katie Couric lost a husband, was it, to pancreatic cancer? And medical science did everything in its power to save that man, and she puts this freak on? You know, I've got another email here, Albert, from a listener, our friend Cindy, who says, what do I think of that goober on the TV? The jerk that talked to Katie the cutie, little nothing? And this is cold. This is hard.
All right, I'm ready.
It makes me think that his kid was not a random target. But well, I understand what she's saying. You know, because if we remember, what was the other one? Klebold and...
Mm-hmm. They were bullied.
Yeah, they were bullied. And who is better at bullying than the religious right, Albert?
Well, what did the... do you remember that documentary that they made after Columbine with all the little jocks sitting there saying, oh, them kids are a bunch of dorks, and we used to punch them and kick them, and they deserved all the beatings they got. And it's like, you know, I mean, sad enough to say that those kids were on Prozac in levels that, you know, would flip out an elephant. But to say, and then to say that, I mean, where's his father been? I can understand his grief, but where's he been? That this wasn't the first school shooting since Columbine. There's been many of them, and we've had them this week. We've had them all over the place. I mean, this is not the first time. It's probably, unfortunately, not going to be the last time. And when they make these diversions like this to sit there and blame, I mean, it's nonsense. It's just,
well, you know, why? You know, you think it might have been appropriate for Katie Couric to have a little discussion instead of bringing this fiend on to have a discussion in her own right about how the media may be propagating this stuff, because this was almost a direct. I mean, it's got all the earmarks of a direct copycat of what happened the week before in Colorado. And short of telepathy, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen without the media fostering it along. And, you know, because the Colorado shooting, you know, that led the news, Albert.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is the media is making Manchurian candidates. I mean, they make all these copycat people. And they make all these other, I mean, and then they're called liberal. I mean, this is not liberalism. Liberalism would actually discuss something with substance. And while we can entertain other people's, you know, theories, no matter if we don't agree with them or not, I mean, for someone to just sit there and straight up and say, just like you did, you know, for Katie Couric to have any integrity, she would have had to say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Are you trying to say that?
But they sent a camera to this guy, Albert, and they recorded it. It wasn't live. They had it in advance, and they knew it, and they still ran it. Jesus.
You apologize?
You know, I mean, does that compound it for you like it does for me?
I'm just glad I don't watch television.
I'm glad that I don't give them my ratings. I'm glad I don't have to watch their commercials for their garbage and everything else.
Yeah.
There's no need for it. I mean, why spend the $50 a month just to watch that, to sit there and listen to that? I can't comprehend it. It's incomprehensible. It's just unbelievable.
But you know, the sad thing is there are millions of Americans who sat there, saw that, and went, he's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You know, and they just stopped on Katie on the way over to the Trinity Broadcasting Network to catch the latest stadium sermon from Benny Hinn.
Yeah, I wonder if this guy has a book coming out about Columbine.
God, he's probably, how do you think they got his name?
Anniversary edition, you know.
Yeah, there's a right-wing PR agency that makes sure that you can always get these people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they actually offered me Bobby Schindler, Terry Schiavo's brother, and until they figured out that I was liberal and was gonna you know, tear his head off and down his neck, they were all, he'll be on there, he'll call in at 7:30. No, he got sick. He heard his mother calling. Yeah. He won't be on your show, Bob.
Well, I'm surprised we haven't heard anything about that either. They let the state.
Oh, no. Well, we haven't. They spent an entire weekend at the Values Summit with Tony Perkins and James Dobson a week and a half, 2 weeks ago in D.C. talking about nothing but this. This goofy congresswoman from Colorado, from Fort Collins, got up behind the microphone and said the most important thing we face today in America is gay marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't make this stuff up. We're out of time. Oh, my God. We got to go here, Albert.
All right.
Sorry. Later, man.
You have a great day.
Bye now.
Night. Bye, Rick.
Thanks to Agnes. Thanks to John. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to Shelby. Thanks to the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights and RMR. It's all for you.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. I don't know what that was at the beginning. What did the guy say? He's a card-carrying Democrat, NRA, KKK, whatever. Hey, listen, if you want to leave a comment that we might play on the program, you can always call 800-397-TALK. Now, that doesn't put you here. That puts you in the home office in Detroit. 800-397-TALK. And if your comment is airworthy, we'll put it on the air. Right? Hey, good evening. This is Bush Free Friday. Tonight we will be talking about. You can talk about issues that are centered in Washington D.C. But if you mentioned he whose name shall not be mentioned on Friday night, you hear a bell, and we'll give you.